If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
One day, if you're a girl, you look in the mirror and there they'll be. Instead of a flat chest, two bumps. These are the beginnings of your breasts. And they're not there just to look pretty. They're useful, too.
I literally used to go to bed at night and pray that I would wake up in the morning with big breasts.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Mama!
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
First, tell me what's going on with the boobs.
Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs.
I want to squeeze them.
Hello, those are my breasts.
Nice melons.
I like boobs.
What?
I like boobs. Big boobs. Love them.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Man, I'm so high.
Roll another one.
Smoke weed.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
We're so high right now.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Shine. Let's shine, dude.
Choo-choo. Roll another one.
What are you, high?
Just like the other one.
What did you do?
This one seems to be about to end.
Clearly, he's high.
I don't have.
The best tonic is Chronic.
Some organs, such as your breast, receive
Just
special attention.
Pass it around. But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
I just pass it on down.
And now.
That's right, their breasts.
Au naturel, baby. That's how I like them. Swing low, sweet chariots.
Our feature presentation.
All right. Start with a tribute like that.
That
works.
Nice, yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a brand new program. It's Friday morning. We're going to take your calls in a second. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. First, my hero of the day. This is me in another life. This is my doppelganger.
Oh, really?
An Australian burglar who photographed his penis with mobile phones. He stole and then sent the images to all of the owner's friends.
That is you.
Told police after his arrest that he had been off of his head for a while now.
Off of his head?
Off his head, I think, means out of your head. So he would steal other people's phones and then take a picture of his own unit and then send it to all of the mailbox, you know, everybody that's in that person's contact list.
How sorry are you that you didn't do this before?
That I didn't think of it?
Yeah. And execute it.
It's so great.
It's the perfect crime.
This guy's my hero. He didn't even want their phones. He just wanted to send a picture of a unit to all of their friends.
I'm sure it's a fabulous unit.
This guy, Shane Anthony Willis, was 33 years old. And, the victim of one phone theft, a student at a Melbourne private school, was reported to his year 11 head teacher. So year 11 would be what? Junior?
Junior, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently that all of his friends got a picture from him saying it was his.
That's funny. I bet his parents are in his contact list, too.
Everyone's.
You got everybody, right.
I have my parents in my
contact. I do, too. Hello, Dad and Mom.
Come on now. We need to start doing that, Mike.
I hope his sister didn't have a phone. Ew.
It's rough, but you got to hand it to him.
Listen, when you're off your head, what are you going to do?
When you're off your head, you don't have a lot of options. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What
What it do, nephew?
The prize today is the same prize as we've been doing all week. A pair of lift tickets to Mountain High. And the best caller of the day, we pick one, gets a pair of Anytime Season Passes. Mountain High is celebrating the return of winter with their $299 Anytime Season Pass sale now through October 31st. Get more at mountainhigh.com.
That's a good deal.
All right, let's begin with DeJuan Johnson from Los Angeles, California. Hi, DeJuan.
Hey, DeJuan.
Good morning, Kevin
and Dave.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, DeJuan.
How you been?
Awesome. My deal is to do nephews about this past Wednesday afternoon while I was taking a nap. I was having this cool dream about when I saw Anna Lynn McCord and her sister Angel at some restaurant in Universal City Walk outside Universal Studios Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I was almost come up to them to tell you who I am. I want to introduce myself, talk about the band of Carney, but they was being interviewed because I don't want to bother them right now.
Oh, that was very thoughtful of you.
Yeah.
In your dream.
Mm-hmm.
So was it one of those super real dreams where you wake up and you think, wow, does that really happen? Or did it take you a while to get your head around it?
Just woke up. I said, wow, I just had the coolest dream ever in my head. Yeah.
Were you wet and sticky?
Oh. No, I wasn't sick.
Yeah, you weren't sick. Okay. All right, DeJuan, you got any big plans for the weekend?
Just watching some 90210 on TV.
All right.
Sounds like a good weekend.
That's a plan. All right, man. Thanks for calling. It's always good to hear from you.
All right.
Take care, DeJuan.
Bye now. Let's go to Sergio. Hi, Sergio.
What to do, guys?
What to do?
How's it going?
It's going good.
So here I am laughing at Kevin because that guy who can throw the ball farther than him and has no arms.
Hey, by the way, just for the record, he can't throw the ball further than me. Back to you.
No problem. So I've been riding bikes all my life, and yesterday I'm sitting down looking at CNN.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kid who does a double backflip in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
I barely hit the jumps. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Double backflip all the way.
Wow. Imagine showing up to the skate park with that guy there.
I would
leave with my head down.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, he needs the wheelchair. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't have an option. So he said, I might as well try to learn some tricks.
Can't get hurt.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Totally.
That's impressive.
Totally.
Yeah, that would make me feel bad too, Sergio.
You should.
Oh, man, I don't know what to do.
Call him and mock him.
And say, that's what we do.
Write a blog post about him.
Right. Just write a blog post.
I'll see what I can do.
And you should just title it, "At Least I Can Wipe My Ass." Just title it like that. You might be able to do a double backflip in a wheelchair, but, never mind. All right. Let's see. Let's go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, what did you know? What did you do, baby boo?
What did you do?
What's going on?
Not much. I was just wondering if you guys, let me start by saying I kind of share Bean's infatuation with stories about strange and odd deaths and arrests and things like that.
Good.
And I was checking out the news yesterday. I don't know if you guys heard about the two U.S. tourists that were arrested at an Athens airport for desecrating the dead.
No, that
is not a charge I want to be involved with.
These are our people?
They were U.S. tourists. But it turns out that they were probably innocent. What happened is they had six human skulls in their luggage. And they had bought them at a souvenir shop there. And apparently they just picked them up and they said that they were going to bring them back for Halloween to decorate their house.
But they were real human skulls?
They were real human skulls.
And they knew that? They knew they were real?
No, they had no idea. So they were totally shocked and they were, of course they were held and detained. And finally they were released to a flight back into the U.S. But I mean, I can't imagine how creepy is that.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is to find out thinking that they're not real and find out they are.
At the airport.
Oh, yeah, and then you're probably like handling him, looking at him like, hey, what do you think about this one?
Wow. That's a little scary.
Yeah.
All right. You're a freak. Thanks for calling. Bye now. That's not how you want to get caught in any airport overseas. Where'd she say? Athens?
Athens, Greece. Greece.
Let's go to Krista. Hi, Krista.
What it do? What it do, Lisa?
What it do, Krista?
What it do?
So I'm having a baby in a month, and my husband and I want to know, he likes Mike, and I like Kevin.
You're kidding.
Well, I mean, considering Kevin's the father, you should probably go with that name.
Nice answer.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, we both listen to the show and we both love the show, but we really want to know which one's the better one.
You mean which name is better or which person is better?
I say Kevin, I just need your go-ahead that it's the better one.
All right, listen, if you're looking for me to say my name is better than Mike's, all right. I'm down with that.
Mike, defend your name.
Is the argument who's the better person? Because clearly I win. Or is it who has the better name? Better name.
Better name.
Let me tell you something, as a Mike. It's a whole different deal getting the name Mike because for the rest of his life, every time someone comes into a room and says Mike or Michael, 500 guys are going to turn around. So you lose that kind of sense of uniqueness. But chances are he's cool because it's a cool guy name. So, I mean, just know that.
So there's ups and downs. Yeah. You just got to make up your mind.
Did people ever make fun of your name, Kevin? Does it rhyme with anything? It's a good name to mock?
Not really.
Not really? Okay.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
That's a consideration.
Yeah, you do have to think about that.
I think I'm going to have to vote with Kevin.
Thank you.
I think I am.
Lisa voted for Kevin, which means you obviously should go with Mike. Either way, I commend you for like the normal guy names, you know, not like Sunflower or Jaden or something wacky.
You should.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to go with Lisa.
All right. Good.
Excellent
for a boy.
Name.
Good. Good thinking. All right. Thank you, Christopher.
All right.
Call.
Thanks.
Thank you. Good
let's
luck.
See. Who do we want? Best call. Sergio, CNN on kid. Did the kid doing the backflip?
I like
wheelchair.
That. I think that's
skulls
pretty cool.
And
skulls and duffel
skulls are good.
Yeah. Let's give Skulls. Well, let's go. Let's find out from her.
Let's see if she.
Hey, Skulls.
Yeah.
Do you snowboard?
Yes, I do.
All right. You win. Then. A pair of anytime season passes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Nicely done. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Skulls.
Forever after, she is Skulls.
She's Skulls. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Another NFL weekend. Very excited about that. We're going to have Andrew Siciliano in.
Okay.
I got 10 right last week in the pool.
Nice.
I hear that's not bad.
That's not too bad. Dave got 11. That hurts.
Ooh.
Kathleen Madigan is a comedian. She's going to be in our studios today.
Very funny.
We have Adam Carolla on the program today. He's going to be in the studio. I'd like to hear Lisa's impression. Yep. This Week in Rage. I don't know if you've seen all the news of the Pope who's going on a European tour, but not everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Not everyone.
They were lining up to protest.
It's Friday. That means we've got the movie beat.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tickets for your Epicenter 2010. So that's coming up within a half hour.
Okay.
Here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. You don't have a giveaway here, do you?
I do not, sir.
All right. We're going to give away some tickets for Epicenter 2010. Just after the top of the hour. So if you'd like to call 1-800-520-1067, you can get in. You're going to have to earn them. You have to earn them with a little game.
Oh, no.
Might be a slight bit painful, game.
Oh, no, not that one.
Omaroki.
Oh!
So, anyway.
If you want, I can get my spoon out.
1-800-520.
I thought you broke your spoon.
I can play the spoon. Well, you got more than one spoon, Lisa. Come
on. Well, I thought maybe it was
as a professional
spoon
player, I've got a case I carry.
You don't have a Lucille of spoons?
No, I don't.
We put that back into the rotation right behind Whistle the Hits.
Behind Whistle the Hits.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, 1-800-520-1067 if you would like to go to Epicenter. We got your tickets coming up next. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
I have held off on talking about the story because I didn't think I could get through it.
Hmm.
It was I am that broken up. I am that emotionally invested and distraught at the news this week.
What's up, Holmes?
That I was thinking maybe I wouldn't even be able to get to talk about it. I'd be so angry and flustered and upset and emotional that I may not be able to get through it.
Who drives you crazy like that? Joan Rivers?
No, this is just a crushing disappointment.
Okay.
Right. I know you guys
don't
watch and don't care, but
TV show.
This week, season 5 of America's Got Talent came to a close. The winner was a dude named Michael Grimm.
Okay.
He is a singer who sings kind of like Michael Bublé kind of singing. Just a regular guy who sings. He just sings fine.
Right.
And he was on the Ellen DeGeneres show afterwards and dedicated a song, When a Man Loves a Woman. Man Loves a Woman.
Yeah.
He sang that to his girlfriend. She came up on stage and he proposed to her and everybody went crazy and blah, blah, blah. What people don't seem to recognize, what people don't realize is that Michael Grimm beat out a 10-year-old girl named Jackie Ivanko.
Oh, that opera singer woman.
She came in second
to
this douchebag.
Wow.
Let me play a little taste of what she did in the semifinals. This was the performance she gave that didn't win her the competition.
And she's 10.
She's 10 years old. Here she's 6.
Five-year-old. It sounds fabulous.
Maybe 1% of all people in the world can sing like that.
Yeah.
Let alone a 10-year-old girl.
It's shocking she didn't win.
Who is beautiful and just charming and couldn't be sweeter. If this whole America's Got Talent BS show has been developed for one thing, it's to find somebody like this and to give her whatever she needs to keep her career going. Not some greasy douchebag who sings BS standards like every other goddamn guy in Las Vegas does.
Do you
F the show? F it!
I don't know how to do that. Do you think that they're looking for a Vegas act?
They are.
I mean,
that's the grand prize. You get a $1 million contract or something to headline a show in Vegas.
Well, I guess she could do that, too.
People wouldn't pack a theater to see this tiny little 10-year-old girl blow the doors off the place?
Yeah, that's something.
F America's Got Talent.
But is it like American Idol in that winning is not necessarily what determines who's going to be the most successful?
Oh, well, she could definitely.
I mean,
she'll
have an amazing career, right?
A national platform to show off an outworldly charisma and talent.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming she will go on to bigger and better things. But she didn't win.
Yeah.
Back to that point.
That is not okay. And Nick Cannon blows.
Is he the worst?
The worst host on television, on top of everything. And I suffered through his lame-ass cue card reading just to hear her sing it. I wanted her to win.
Did you vote?
Yes, I voted. Of course, I voted.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Remember, I was looking for a Catherine McPhee-style catchphrase when I invented I've Got the McPhee-ver. Remember that when she was American Idol?
Right.
And I couldn't come up with anything for Jackie Ivanko?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the listener who suggested, I'm an Ivanko-holic.
All right, not bad.
A little late, though. She probably could have used that sort of
now that she's lost.
Spontaneous publicity
That's
before
why
the final
she
votes.
Lost. Are you kidding?
I was so angry this week. So angry. Poor George Michael.
Why poor
now
George
what?
Michael?
Apparently he's not doing so well in jail.
He should be thriving.
He should have been there 2 years ago.
He, according to jail insiders, breaks down and cries almost every night. He's in the Vulnerable Prisoners Unit, the VPU, as we call it.
Sure.
And I guess that's where they put celebrities or people who are especially at risk, like pedophiles and those kind of people who don't last long in gen pop,
right,
as we say in the penal system.
Sure.
And prisoners can hear him sobbing and wailing down the hallway. And apparently inmates, who, by the way, are not necessarily the nicest people.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
It's
do not disparage inmates.
It's true. You may not know the history of the penal system the way I do. Mike might know more.
He
about
knows
the
a lot
penal
about
system. Yeah, mm-hmm. But they're not the nicest people,
right?
And apparently, nightly they've been they've been singing to George, giving him renditions of his songs "Faith," "Gotta Have Faith," and "Freedom." They've been singing apparently, which is especially ironic since he's in jail. So George having a tough time.
It seems like it would, I mean, he deserves to be in jail, but it does seem like it would be harder to go from his life to jail than
it
would for most people.
I think he's a delicate flower.
It's possible.
I'm guessing he's not a strong man. And it looks like we were all right. The Heidi Montag-Spencer Pratt divorce was all a sham.
Really?
Completely a sham.
Photographers for TMZ.com have photos of the two making out for cameras yesterday in Santa Barbara, California. Apparently, they were partying and drinking champagne in honor of Heidi's 24th birthday, and they were arm in arm and making out for the cameras and smiling and posing together and just business as usual.
So, is it possible that they split up and then got back together?
What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah.
That would have to give them just any percentage of any sort of genuine reality coming out of that camp.
Good point.
That's just not likely.
If we've learned anything, it's distrust them 100%
exactly.
Of the time.
Speaking of reality, is she still going to have this reality show she was supposed to film over the summer?
They filmed it. I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I'm assuming it'll be on.
Okay.
And I'm sure the grand finale will be them coming back together again and renewing
sense.
Their vows or some BS.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, no wonder gays are furious they can't get married.
Yeah,
these two people are
this,
married.
Yes.
Who does more of a disservice to the institution of marriage? A gay couple that's truly in love wants to get married, or these two tremendous douchebags?
Yeah.
Death to them. And America's Got Talent. I'm not letting go of that. Don't get me wrong. That's not going away anytime soon.
The terrorists have won.
They really have. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Elmo of Sesame Street is 50 years old today. Wow, he looks good for 50.
Good. Looks exactly the same.
Tickle me, I'm 50.
Awfully hairy.
Puppeteer Kevin Clash, the guy who is Elmo on Sesame Street, is 50. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 45 years old today. Vinny of Naughty by Nature turns 40 years old today. Matthew Settle, who plays Rufus over there on Gossip Girl, he is 41 years old. And director, writer, musician, Baz Luhrmann. Australian Baz Luhrmann is 48 years old today.
He's one of a
kind.
And
there's one piece of advice I could give you, Baz. It's wear sunscreen. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. Adam Carolla, an hour from now. Always look forward to having him on Friday with This Week in Rage. And we got the movie beat coming up next. But first, we're going to give away some tickets.
Yes,
for,
we are.
Epicenter 2010.
Omar Center 2010.
Omar Center 2010.
Yeah.
I predict no tickets because, seriously.
Come on.
It's Omar.
I'm with you. So this is very simple. Omar sings a song. You have to identify it. It's one of the bands that's playing the show. It sounds simple, I should say, but when you, in reality, when you hear it, you're going to go, well, that doesn't even, it's not even a song.
Yeah, it's beyond music. It's like so goddamn entertaining, and the enjoyment that'll go through your eardrums is going to be insane.
Maroki as a singer, Omar's really lame.
That's what I meant.
So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
All right, let's begin with Bill. Bill, welcome to the game.
What's going on, man?
Omaroki, he's going to sing a song. You have to tell us the artist and the song title. And if you win, you'll get into the drawing for backstage passes, two-day tickets and backstage passes.
For Omar Center 2010.
For Epicenter 2010. Here's Omar.
Hi, kids. Do you like Primus? Want to see me stick 9-inch nails through each one of my eyelids? Want to copy me and do exactly as I did? Try Sid and get messed up worse than my life is?
It's Eminem.
It is.
Wow. Mike, give me a hint.
Mike, give me a hint.
Why do you go to Mike?
Come on now.
Mike is not my name.
Wow, Mike just gave you a hint. You weren't paying attention. He said, Mike is not my name. Is.
Oh, yeah.
It's
my name. Is.
Yes.
Hi, kids. Do you like Primus?
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go.
Just like that.
Sorry about that.
I think,
like,
you know, at the very least, Eminem will invite me upstage to be his hype man. Yeah. I see that happening.
That's a done deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse.
How's it going?
Good. Did you know the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's too bad. Here's yours.
Hanging out behind the club on the weekend. Acting stupid, getting drunk with my best friends. I couldn't wait for the summer and the Warped Tour. I remember the first time I saw her there.
Rock show, Blink-182.
Correct.
Hanging out behind the club on the weekend.
Nicely done. You hold on. You're in the drawing.
Thank you.
Not you, him.
What?
Nicely drawing.
What did he do?
He named it.
I'm singing, dude. This takes talent.
Hey, Kiki.
Hey.
America does not all have talent, apparently. Here's your song.
There is no blame, only shame. When you beg, you just complain. More I come, more I try. Police are paranoid.
All right,
so am I.
Right,
so
Omar.
Is the future. So are you. Be a creature.
It's Bush, Come Down.
Yes, it is. Day. Nicely done.
There is no blame.
Thank you.
Only shame.
Did you say you wanted to say something?
Yeah, Omar has an amazing voice. It's like angels.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about right there.
She is set up.
Give her the tickets.
She was set up. Oh, we should have to do the drawing.
Ah, bastard.
All right, let's go to Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hi, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Here is your Omaroki.
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already, mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps forgetting the words he wrote down. The crowd growls so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words come out.
Or something like
something
that.
Something like that.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's Eminem, Run.
What?
Run, Rabbit, Run.
That's a song?
Lose Yourself.
But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down.
Yeah, sorry about that. All right, but that was really well done, Omar.
Thank you. I'm going to be his hype man, I'm telling you. Omar Swinter Center 2010.
That's the short bus version of Eminem. That's what that is. All right, let's go to Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
You're ready for Omar Rookie?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
This is not a test of the emergency broadcast system where Malibu fires and radio tires, or towers, conspire to dance again. And I can't believe the media mecca. They're only trying to peddle reality. Catch it all. Primetime story at 9. The whole world is going insane.
Oh, God, is it,
Have you heard that song?
Yeah, it's just like that. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for me that weekend because I'm probably going to be invited on stage and sing along with every band and Eminem's hype man
not
and everything.
So let her guess.
Is it Bad Religion?
It is.
It's not Los Angeles Burning.
It is Los Angeles Burning.
I believe we will give it to you.
This is not a test.
First of all, you didn't get it in time, but we're going to give it to you. We're going to give it to you.
Can I tell you something?
Not if it's Omar's a good singer.
You better say that.
This is for my boyfriend for his birthday. He wanted to go really bad.
Nice.
All right,
enough of you. Let's get to my singing. Okay. All right.
Congratulations, Aaron. Thank you. All right, let's go to Dean. This is
Dean,
strange.
The sports guy?
This is strange because we've never done a game before where people that win then demand a statement.
It's
really strange. Dean, hi.
Hey.
Here is Omar Rookie.
I'll take one lift. You're right. Best trip. Always. I know you'll be at my show watching,
all right.
Waiting, commiserating. Say it ain't so.
Okay,
I will not go. Turn the lights off. Carry me home. Na 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 na.
All right.
Na 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 na.
You should know it by now.
Na na.
Dean?
This is Blink. It is
Blink, yes. And the song title is...
I want to say Carousel.
You shouldn't have wanted to say Carousel. You should have wanted to say All the Small Things.
Always I know.
Right. Come on, that was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It wasn't bad. He should have known it if that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do one more.
Okay.
And this is going to be Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys.
All right, here's Omar Rookie. Good luck.
It all started when I lost my mother. No love for myself, no love for one another. Searching, trying to find a lover on a high level. Finding nothing but questions and devils. Cause I'm losing my sight, losing my mind. Wish somebody will tell me I'm fine. Losing my sight, losing my mind. Wish somebody will tell me I'm fine.
Yeah. I had to dance to that.
Yeah. That was great.
Gotta get your groove on.
Justin?
It's Papa Roach.
Yep. It is Papa Roach, and the song is entitled?
It's like Suicide, or...
That's Last Resort.
Cause I'm losing my sight, losing my mind.
Yeah.
Any comments that you have for us, or... No? All right, good. All right, Lisa, let's do the drawing and figure out who goes.
All right, the winner is Kiki.
Oh hey, gosh. She's the one that liked my singing.
She liked your singing.
I mean, the winner is...
Apparently it pays to suck up.
Seriously.
Oh, okay. I was not sucking up. I meant it from my heart.
No, you get to go
you don't have to say that. You already won.
Omar Center 2010.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We don't have time.
Psycho Mike is dancing around because he got hair products.
I know.
This is from Jonathan Anton. Woo!
Woo! Anton! Woo! Banging hair, yeah.
God damn it.
Anton!
I don't even know how to begin to address that.
How do we not murder him every day?
Because you're bitch made.
All right, it's Friday morning and time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man. Who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I would say September and January are the worst months out of the year for movies. Seems to be just when they just put the crap out.
because you're coming off the big summer blockbusters, and every movie they're hoped is going to make money, they release during the summer, and then the same thing happens during the holiday season.
Is it because of school? School starts, and so everybody
That's
goes
one of the main reasons. It just, attendance to movies drops at the beginning of the fall. It's just a sort of a natural cycle of things. So they don't tend to put out their better product during the month of September or January. This weekend is absolutely the exception to the rule.
Fantastic.
What a great bunch of movies coming out this weekend. For the kids, a little movie called Alpha and Omega. It's about wolves. Two wolves trying to get home.
Werewolves?
No, just wolves.
Just wolves.
Yeah. It's for the kids, you know. The voices in the film are Justin Long and Hayden Panettiere play the two wolves.
All right.
Two talented actors. Here's a little clip from Alpha and Omega where Humphrey, the male, and Kate, the female, get attacked by bears. And Humphrey the wolf tries to talk his way out of it.
Okay, we're in trouble.
Hey, guys, you guys like jokes? Good. So, okay, so two bears are eating a clown. And one of the bears says, "Does this taste funny to you?" A simple boo would have sufficed.
Boo! Looks cute. So, you know, it's funny, once you have a kid, you start looking at kids' movies in a whole different light. You know, she's not at that stage yet, luckily, but you start looking at them every week and say, could I sit through that one? Looks like I could sit through this one.
Right, and every once in a while you go, yeah, this is one I can actually be a hero on.
Yeah,
hey, right. Kids, you want to go to a movie? I'll take you to whatever you want to see, as long as it's this one.
From the mind of M. Night Shyamalan comes a new movie this weekend. Devil. What happens when you get in an elevator with the devil? He presses all the buttons to all the floors, taking longer to get to your floor. And then he farts to make your ride in the elevator a living hell. He's the devil from the mind of M. Night Shyamalan. So funny, this movie, when they started showing the trailers, they would start with From the Mind of M. Night Shyamalan. And people were laughing out loud, howling in movie theaters, pointing and jeering at the screen.
He has not had a long, successful record after The Sixth Sense.
No, he has not. He has had a diminishing returns, as they say. Each film seems to get worse and worse and worse. However, he just produced this one. He didn't write it. He didn't direct it.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe
I feel bad for the guys who did write and did direct this movie, because it may be the greatest movie ever. But people just smell the stink of M. Night Shyamalan on it, and I think they will stay away in droves.
Devil.
It's about a bunch of people stuck in an elevator with the devil. Fair enough.
All right. Okay. That's the whole movie?
When the lights go down, the devil gets busy. And apparently, here is a woman called Sarah in this film, who, when the lights come back up, she's been injured, and now they start looking at each other. Ooh, which one of you did it? Was one of you the devil? Is one of you a serial killer, a mass murderer? Do we know? Let's find out.
She fell into me.
So you cut her?
What? No. Something must have happened to her, and then she fell into me. Maybe she has a serrated blade on her.
Are you seriously suggesting that I would do this to myself?
I don't know.
Give me another reason to kick your ass.
Please, bro, take it easy, okay?
Bro, I'm not your bro.
I'm the devil!
I'm the devil!
Yeah.
Nah.
All right, not everyone's a winner this weekend.
I'm gonna have to get some word of mouth on that one.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, let me give you some word of mouth on this one. The Town opens tomorrow.
Yes. That I'm looking forward to.
I had a chance to see The Town.
You mean today?
I'm sorry, did I say tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
It's today.
Okay.
Last night it was opening tomorrow.
Right.
That's what I was thinking of. I went to see it last night. And the film opens today. But it is excellent. I'm a big caper movie fan. And this is about a crew of guys in the Charleston neighborhood of Boston who are bank robbers and armored car robbers. That's what they do.
They have the accent?
They do have the Boston accent. That's not a pretty accent.
Not trying to sit through that.
But it is. And I was a little afraid of the accent myself, but I'm telling you, you buy into it early on, and it dissipates.
All right.
You start to get used to it very early on. An amazing cast of people in this. Ben Affleck directs this movie and also stars. And I got to tell you something. The director, Ben Affleck, has gotten one of the best performances out of the actor, Ben Affleck, I've ever seen.
Wow. No kidding.
He's really good in this.
Huh.
Jeremy Renner plays his best friend, who's also kind of second in command of the crew. Another brilliantly talented actor. John Hamm.
Your man crush.
He's so dreamy.
I just want to tell you, I love your show so much.
He's so dreamy. And he's so good in this as an FBI agent. But the real revelation of the film for me, one of the most outstanding performances from the least likely source, Blake Lively.
Really?
From TV's Gossip Girl.
Right.
Is really great in this movie. She plays Jeremy Renner's sister and Ben Affleck's ex-girlfriend, and she is outstanding in this film. Overall, it is a great film. Lots of plenty of action, but also plenty of character development, great acting. A lot of good stuff going on in this movie. I recommend it highly. Here's a scene from the movie where Ben Affleck is suspected of having pulled this bank heist. So FBI agent John Hamm pulls him in to interrogate him, and Hamm is just a badass. Gotta love him. Here he is.
You and your boys didn't just roll a Star Market over in Malden for a box of quarters. No, you decided to bang it out in the North End at 9 o'clock in the morning. You dummies shot a guard. Fortunately, though, for you, this guard has miraculously clung to life. Now, if it were up to me, and they gave me 2 minutes and a wet towel, I would personally asphyxiate this half-wit so we could string you up on a federal M1 and end this story with a bag on your head and a paralyzing agent running through your veins.
Boom!
Wow.
Boom!
Hey, he's not supposed to be that way. He's the FBI.
He's awesome. He says, these guys, these are the I don't F around crew. Well, guess what? Not F and Ron's going both ways now. He gets really pissed off at these guys in this movie. It's really outstanding. I recommend it highly. And also a movie that I did not see this week, but I am very much looking forward to catching up with this weekend, Easy A, the comedy starring Emily Stone. She plays a high school girl who, through a series of circumstances, gets a reputation as being easy, and she starts to parlay that reputation into sort of a money-making scheme where she will say she slept with you in order to raise your rep in high school if you're a dude and charge you money for it. Great idea for a film. She is terrific. I always love her and everything. But one of the most appealing nature elements of this film for me is the roles of her mom and dad, played by Stanley Tucci, who's always great, and Patricia Clarkson. But from all I can see, these are two just whacked out parents. These are not your average parents. Here's a scene from the movie where they're trying to figure out what the girls in high school are calling their daughter.
Let's just say it was an inappropriate word.
Well, what did it start with?
A snide comment from a snotty girl in my class.
No, I mean, what letter did the word start with?
T. Guys, noun, adjective, or verb?
Noun.
It's definitely slang. Think British.
Tallywhacker. That looks so funny.
Every clip I've heard from this movie looks good. Sounds good.
Really well written. You can tell it's a funny, well written comedy. So Easy A, also checking out, worth checking out this weekend. And The Town, I can give you my personal recommendation. I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
I don't know if you've been following the news, but the Pope is on a European tour, and he's headed to Britain.
Yeah, he hasn't been there in years and years.
This has been 28 years since the Pope visited Britain, and there are a lot of people who are upset about it for a variety of reasons.
Pope Benedict XVI was in the media glare even before he touched down in Scotland. En route, he talked to journalists about his controversial four-day visit to Britain. Referring to the Catholic Church's child abuse scandal, the Pope says his top priority is to help the victims.
Sadness also that the church authority was not sufficiently vigilant and not sufficiently quick and decisive to take the necessary measures.
His comments marked his most thorough admission to date of the church's failure to deal with paedophile priests.
So there you go, you got that working for you.
Hmm.
I believe we have Pope Benedict on the phone.
Ah, guten Tag, Kevin and Dean. How are you?
We're good.
Ah, that is nice.
You don't sound anything like the dude on the news.
But that is my, you know, my personal appearance voice.
I see.
This is the real me in the telephone voice.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So you're heading to Britain, and you're getting a lot of
I'm
a lot
already
of push-
here. I'm yeah. in Britain.
And you get a lot of pushback, right?
Yeah, they're very upset for some reason.
Well, I mean, I think the pedophilia with the priest has a lot to do
with it.
All
right, enough already. Seriously, let's let it go.
A report.
Why hold on to such an ugly mess?
A report yesterday revealed more than half of the Catholic clergy jailed for child abuse in England and Wales following 2001 or were still in the priesthood.
Well, sure. You don't want to take away a guy's way to make a living, you know? Everybody's got to make a buck.
I think that attitude might be the problem.
These are the guys that went to jail for pedophilia, though.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean they, you know, they can't hand out a wafer or two.
Well.
Give you a little vine.
It does to a lot of people.
We just try to keep them away from Sunday school, that's all.
The cost is also a ridiculous number. Some 15 million pounds, like $23 million. Just for security and everything?
I mean, look, I roll deep, okay? You got to get the Pulp Mobile out there.
Right.
I need my hype man. I need the roadies.
Wait, you have a hype man?
Yeah, I have a hype man.
Whoa.
Yeah, raise the roof for the pontiff, yo. And he does, you know, I guess the crowd hyped for me.
It doesn't seem like that. I've never seen that happen, so that's
well, it's the new church.
Okay, all right.
And we get down and boogie.
Now, I don't think the Pope has ever used the word boogie before. Now, what about the big protest march? They're calling it the Big Pope Nope March.
What?
Pope Nope.
Pope Nope.
That's what they came up with.
They're rhyming about me?
They are, yes.
Oh, that hurts.
The Big Pope Nope March.
Well, I say, then to England, bringland on.
Come on.
Look, I haven't had time to work. It's my first time hearing about this.
Okay, that's not bad, though.
I say to Scotland, Snotland. That's what I call them. What if I promise all the priests will pass on the ass? That's a good rhyme, right?
It is. You could really do it.
It's sort of making light of a pretty serious situation, though.
Say 9 to 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
That rhyme?
That's
better?
Pretty good.
Oh, I had no idea. No Pope. That hurts me.
It's Pope, no, but okay.
Oh, that hurts me. Right in my giant hat.
Adam Carolla after the top of the hour. 6:54.
Get it on.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Fox tells us Wednesday, they're going to have a major announcement. Fox says they will announce at the Los Angeles Forum on the same day as the final auditions who the judges will be for the new season of American Idol. Oh, wait a minute. It's Jennifer Lopez, Steven Tyler, and Randy Jackson.
I thought they already announced it.
No, they haven't announced it yet. They're pretending as if they've got something to say, and we already know. Fox, relax. Sit down. Story's out. Stop pretending like you're going to break some news. Big press. Oh, major announcement. We're going to tell you who the judges are going to be. We know who the judges are. Fox?
That's odd.
Bitches? Weezer is not going to play any of its new album on its upcoming tour. Isn't that interesting?
It's a strange choice.
Apparently, they're going to do two-night stands in various cities around these great United States of ours. And the first night, they will perform their debut album from 1994 in its entirety. And then the second night, they will be doing Pinkerton, their second album, in its entirety.
No kidding.
So no new music from Weezer on their new tour, which is interesting.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Because they're touring for support of the new record.
Right after a new record.
Yeah. So no Hurley. Huh. Live with it. You want to see a live-action version of Pinocchio? Warner Brothers thinks so.
Sure.
Live Pinocchio. You remember Pinocchio? He was the wooden puppet who wanted to be a real boy. And when he lied, his nose would grow?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this time, it's going to be in 3D. So you see that nose coming right at you. Boop! Oh, look at that giant nose coming at me. Pinocchio,
I could reach up and grab that nose.
Oh, your nose is getting so big, you lied so much.
It's like watching Glee.
How dare you? Like watching Glee. Leave my Leah Michelle alone. They should do the 3D porn version, Pornocchio, where something else of his grows boop in 3D and you can reach out and grab it.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, sorry. Just imagining. Like I'm imagining Sarah Silverman totally naked.
I'm sorry?
Apparently Sarah Silverman is appearing in a new film called Take This Waltz, where she appears totally nude.
Yes.
Butt naked.
Really?
Sans clothing, as they say in France.
From behind?
Actually,
or
they have
the
a different
front?
Word for clothing. It's some French word. I don't know. Sans means without. I know that much. Full frontal nudity. I go totally naked, Sarah says. Full frontal. It's going to be awful. It's so not pretty. Apparently, in the film, Michelle Williams has to choose between two different love interests. One potential suitor is played by Seth Rogen. The other one apparently played by Sarah Silverman. So she has to choose the beef or the fish. Mm-hmm. The beef or the fish.
No!
Let's just hope Seth Rogen doesn't have to get fully frontal naked, too. That could be a rough movie.
Let's hope she waxes.
Yeah, really. You know, she's a hairy broad. I mentioned in the movie beat that Blake Lively is surprisingly good in The Town, the new film by director, actor Ben Affleck. I don't know why I was so surprised. I guess because on Gossip Girl, she doesn't really need to do all that much acting.
Right.
Really. And I know she's sort of new at it and she's young, but I really was surprised. And they did an interview with her this week about Gossip Girl and about her new film. And she said that there's no chance we're going to see her roll out of a limousine drunk or start dancing on tables at a bar anytime in the near future.
You mean in real life?
She's just not that kind of party starlet.
Well, don't rule it out.
It's not what she does. Because she can't stand parties, and she would rather stay home to cook, watch movies, or listen to music. Sounds like she's got quite a career ahead of her. She keeps her head on straight.
Yeah.
Of course, I think that's what Lindsay said at one point, too, actually. And speaking of attractive, beautiful, talented actresses, Gemma Arterton.
Oh my God!
You may have seen her in Clash of the Titans. What else was she in recently?
Not Quantum of Solace. After that.
Yeah, she was in.
After that.
There's nothing after that.
Okay, yeah, Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace, the second Daniel Craig Bond movie. And she was in something just recently, too, wasn't she?
I think she was.
I can't think of it. Anyway, she says she's having a hard time being a sex symbol. It's hard being as attractive as she is.
Oh, I feel bad for her.
She says she's treated like a piece of ass on movie sets and wants to work with more people that would respect her for her talent. Stop treating her like eye candy and a piece of meat. Shut up. Look, seriously.
Look, here's
you win. You win so big. It's like you're the person in Vegas who hits the $1 million jackpot on the slot machine with putting in one quarter. And says, oh, I have to carry all this money to the cage to cash it in for them to write me a check. Oh, I have to pay taxes on this $1 million windfall that I got for putting a quarter in the machine. Look, it may be true. You may have problems with that. It may be difficult. But really, we can't listen to you talk about it. We can't hear it.
You know, the answer is do good work and people will start to respect you for that as well.
The answer is whatever. Whatever. Good work, bad work, but you just win so large. You're a movie star and you're smoking hot and people adore you.
The answer is spend 12 hours being ugly and then you'll go back and you'll realize how good it is.
12 minutes. Unbearable. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 45 years old today. Keith Flint of Prodigy turns 41. Speaking of Gossip Girl, Matthew Settle plays Rufus on that show. He's 41 years old today. And director, singer, songwriter, actor, writer, stage director, legendary Australian Baz Luhrmann is 48 years old today. And we were thinking about Baz, and we realized that there was a time, I don't know, what, about 10 years ago?
Yeah, maybe longer, maybe early 90s.
When he had a smash hit single that he didn't sing or write or play anything on. He just produced it. But it was a spoken word song, and it was a huge, huge hit. We used to play it
a lot.
And it's the most unlikely hit song you'll ever hear. So if you're not familiar with the Sunscreen song, I present to you the Sunscreen song.
If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they...
That was a huge hit.
Monster hit.
People listening to that for the first time must be going, no way.
And the first hit song ever for John McCain. I didn't know he was the guy who was narrating that song.
If I could give you one piece of advice, sunscreen would be it. Because I had a lot of face cancer.
Wow. I didn't give it to him.
Wow.
I'm just saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Friday. That means we've got our friend Adam Carolla in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it on.
We're in a suit today. What's happening with that?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What percentage of people that are waking up at 6:45 in the morning want to hear that bald ass singing about being a rat in a cage for the 35,000th time in the last 3 years? Really? Is there a human being that likes that piece of crap song, that poser, "The world is a vampire"? Shut up. You suck with your pretentious crap. And when is it going to end? Jesus Christ. Is that song 15 years old now?
Probably, yeah.
It sucks. It sucked in 1994, you false angst. Who's buying that crap? How old are your listeners? 13? You get up, you have a juice box, you're going to get on your big wheel and get off and head off to 7th grade. Come on, nobody likes that song. That song sucks when you're drunk at 10 at night. It's grating at 6:55. I'm still just a rat. And I wish that rat would have eaten his ass. Spare us his crappy music.
We've got it coming up again in 2 hours.
Oh, 2 hours? Adam, why Frohlich so long? Why Weatherly takes like a long break between crappy songs?
Adam,
that's a marathon with no rat in a cage song. Shut up. I'd like to see the high school. You know what I want to see? I want to see these guys book pictures from their high schools with the big Jufro and the Kennington shirt. Don't give me that crap with your tattoos and your shaved head, you poser pussy. Give me that crap.
He's got a lot of rage.
He's got a lot of rage. Good. Kill yourself then. Spare us your crappy music. And by the way, if I thought he had a lot of rage, I'd be into it, except for it's just crap. We're all buying into it. He doesn't care. He's on top of some supermodel right now in Malibu. It's a rat in a cage. Who wants to hear that crap?
We were just talking. This is funny because
it's 7 a.m. Anyone want to hear that?
Just before you walked in, literally 10 seconds before you walked in, we were talking about what a good lyric that is.
Mm.
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Yeah, but it's here's the thing. But it's 7 a.m.
Okay, I got
no you. No one wants to feel that way on their way to work. It's horrible.
They already do.
What if they already
they
do?
They already do.
They don't
there
have
they
your
go.
Life, Adam. Not that, everybody has your
but
life.
But that's why we want to hear about puppies and water lilies and butterflies. Because we're already in our cage going to our crappy job. Now, where was I?
I don't know. Adam Carolla has one big show tonight at the El Portal Theater on Lancashire in North Hollywood. 8 o'clock.
Bryan Cranston's coming out.
Nice.
Wow.
In the flesh.
Stars of Breaking Bad, which is one of the best shows of all time.
3 Emmys in a row that mother's won.
And deserves all of them. That show's so good.
Yeah. No, I think he deserves 1 and 3. Two?
Two's questionable.
Yeah. I'll bring that up tonight, too.
Tickets available at adamcarolla.com if you would like to go to that. You want to play the song again, or you want to break, or you have something
you guys
else to
are
talk?
Playing
what do you want to do?
You're playing another 11 minutes anyway, right? I mean, it's on that kind of rotation. I got things to complain about.
All right.
Okay.
It's not my... I got my real things to complain about next. This is just a little sampler, a little something to whet your appetite.
So This Week in Rage is coming up next.
It's coming.
All right.
It's coming.
But it's not right now.
This is just a little sprig of mint or what you call a little sorbet to cleanse the palate before This Week in Rage.
All right.
The 555 things, we're all hip to the number in movies and televisions where they go 555 and you go movie.
Right.
Like, here's the whole deal. And it's just this new Betty White movie, You Again, you know, all these chicks mincing about, having their periods and arguing and whatnot with their candles. The commercial, you have Betty White going, "You can call me at 550. Oh, first off, this is a wild comedic twist. A horny, amorous older woman. Oh, wow. We haven't seen that
she's
since
never done
Ruth
that
Gordon.
Before.
It's not only she's never done it, that's been done since vaudeville.
Yeah.
I mean, Shakespeare had those had Betty White doing that in it. So it's like, but then you do the 555, and I just hear, oh, we're making a movie that's a fake movie thing. And the whole thing about a movie is you create this illusion that you're not really in a movie. It would ruin it. Like, if you're watching a horror movie and you saw the cameraman standing there,
right,
then you'd know, oh, I shouldn't be scared anymore, Freddy or whoever. The 555 is basically saying we're making a movie.
I don't know if younger people know that as much. Anytime there's a number that's given out in a movie and it's 555, it doesn't exist. So that's why they give it out. Because a-holes sit there and jot down the real number that they would give out and then call it.
Hey, it
all
worked.
Day.
It worked for Tommy Two Tone.
Okay.
I don't have an answer for that.
Right.
Jenny's got the number. That's all I'm saying. 867-5309. I mean, there's no problems there.
There's no 555.
All I'm saying is
you can, there's clever ways to go about it where you don't have to say 555. You could say, Betty White could say, take my phone number, 763, and then cut the commercial. You don't have to give the rest of the thing out. You can do the same in the movie. You don't have to yell. Just saying, why not just hit the bitch with the boom mic? You're taking me out of the movie. You're taking me right out. That's
totally
what you do.
Agree.
When you go 555, and I don't care if it's a thriller or a comedy. When you go 555, I go movie, movie, movie. I'm out of it. That's, I'm saying, why not? According to your logic, we should just whack her in the head with the boom mic. Tell her teeth. Polydent laden teeth fall out.
I would like to see that as well.
Not much.
Adam Carolla is here. We will be right back with This Week in... This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning. That means Adam Carolla is here with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right. Starting at three, working our way down to number one. Number three first. Doing a lot of traveling these days, going through a lot of airports, a lot of taking off the shoes and the bare tootsies on the floor and making my way through. Look down every once in a while when you're going through Burbank or LAX or Newark or any airport in this country. Some of the worst carpet you've ever seen in your life, the most filthy, disgusting, the worst stretch of carpeting you've seen is when you're taking your shoes off. Like, it's like if you went to a Tony Roma's in Bakersfield and you looked down and went, man, this carpet is disgusting. Jesus, some guy's been spilling rib juice and barbecue sauce. And then you went, let me kick my shoes off and walk through the bathroom. What the hell? What's up? It should be the best stretch there is. The airport, the carpet in front of the Cinnabon is better than the one in front of the security.
Well, there's so many people, they would have to replace it every day.
They also, when are you going to replace it? Yeah. They never close the place
down.
True. But some of that stuff is old ass carpet. You know, it's the same crap Bob Hope walked through when he's doing a USO show in the 40s. I'm just saying, it's bad enough and it's indignant enough. We have, you know, indignity enough that we have to pop our shoes off and walk around in our socks. I feel sorry for the ladies who are barefoot. And by the way, same people would be Purelling and opening the bathroom door with their sleeve, walking barefoot through a minefield of gum and baby vomit. Awesome. Awesome plan. Come on. Give us our dignity. Put a nice stretch of something there. Or how about this? How about you just put some kind of like wood grain or something, like some deck or something, you know, something where you spill the beer, it would fall through the other side. Just give us something.
Every once in a while.
Give us something other than the puke-riddled, horrible stretch of black carpet. It's a goddamn it's a baton death march going through there. It's horrible. All right, moving on. Still angry. NPR and PBS. I have to get up these people's tukai for a second.
Good.
If you notice, they start messing with the pronunciation of words. Like, it's Carnegie Hall. It's always been Carnegie Hall. It's been the Carnegie family, Carnegie Mellon University, Carnegie Hall. Hey, I'm going from Carnegie Mellon University down the street to Carnegie Hall. But if you listen to these pretentious a-holes, they go, you listen to NPR, something, they go, brought to you by a grant from the Carnegie Foundation. Carnegie?
I have heard them
Carnegie, you pretentious a-holes. It's Carnegie. That's what they call it. It's not Carnegie Hall. And if you listen, we called it Iran. It's now Iran.
Sure.
Remember? Remember, it was always Iraq. It's now Iraq.
Sure.
The biggest one, it was always Hiroshima. Hiroshima. It was Hiroshima the entire time we were bombing it, but it was switched over to Hiroshima. Why? Because you guys are pretentious a-holes who want to lord your pronunciation of stuff over everybody. It's a weird, subtle, quiet correction. Shut up. We know what it is. It's Carnegie Hall, not Carnegie. Jesus Christ. No wonder no one listens to you.
Oh, they're so boring.
All right. Now, number one, Christmas lights.
Christmas lights.
Ace Man, how could you have a beef with Christmas lights? What's the beef? Well, I'll tell you what. Christmas lights used to come out, you know, middle of November, something like that. It was getting cold outside. You could smell a little pumpkin and cinnamon and nutmeg in the air. And it was Christmas time. Mm-hmm. That's when Christmas lights came out, and that's what it signified. Now, if you go to any strip mall, there's Christmas lights everywhere, and it's year-round. The check-cashing place has Christmas lights on it. The pawn shop has got Christmas lights hanging all over the place. Strip clubs, Indian food restaurants, the Korean joints got
God. It's always, this is not, no, no. Someone has to explain to these folks, we don't do it this way. The baby Jesus, not a fan of you celebrating him in the form of lights at a pawn shop. It's not the way it works.
I'd like to believe
we don't.
Bust them
out and put them back.
I'd like to believe we don't do it that way. You're wrong. We do it that way.
We have an ordinance for everything in this goddamn town. How about the Christmas lights can't come out until November 15th?
Fine. And have to go away.
They got to go. They got to go away.
First of the year, even. I mean, yeah. You really got to get them down quick.
And by the way, if you're... place sells golf clubs, used drills, and bass guitars that junkies turned in to get another hit. You can't put Christmas lights up there. That's not what it's about. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, is doing the show tonight at the El Portal Theater on Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood. 8 o'clock, Bryan Cranston is going to be the star of Breaking Bad, who's so great, and you can get tickets at adamcarolla.com. Thanks for coming in, Adam.
Yeah.
Manny Ramirez, who was traded from the Dodgers to the White Sox, was at one time the greatest, I mean, I think he was the greatest hitter in baseball.
Look, the fact that I knew about him says something.
Yeah, so he then came to the Dodgers from the Red Sox, and the Red Sox said, good riddance, he's a lot of trouble, he's all yours. And then he played well for the Dodgers, and then he got suspended, and then we ended up just getting rid of him, getting him to the White Sox, and now with the White Sox, it's been a disaster. So we have a good relationship with Manny. We thought we would bring him onto the program and just find out what's going on. Hey, Manny.
All right.
How Hi, are Manny.
You? I've been better.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad.
What?
You what?
I'm kind of sad.
You're kind of sad?
Because Manny Ramirez no hit home run.
You're not hitting any home runs.
I don't love Chicago.
You don't like Chicago?
It's very hard for me to hit a home run.
What?
I have a horn.
Now, apparently after Tuesday you stranded 6 runners.
That's not good.
So they were on base, meaning, and all you need is a base hit to get one of them in. Just a base hit.
My mind was on other things.
You have 0 RBIs.
No, that's not good either.
You have 0 home runs.
That's not good. Manny Ramirez loves his home run. I wish I had more, but I have 0.
I'm sorry, what number?
I have 0.
You have 10 singles but 13 strikeouts. What's going on with you, dude? Are you just falling apart entirely?
Come and knock on my door. We've been waiting for you. Where the kisses
are
hers and hers and his.
Three's
Company, too.
Why are you doing that?
That show. Hey, pretty lady.
Hi, Manny.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you speak English?
Yes, I do.
I don't believe you.
Manny.
Mama.
So, Manny, what's going on? I mean,
my crocodile, his name is Jimmy Kimmel.
You have a crocodile named Jimmy Kimmel.
And he has dingleberries on his butt.
Okay.
And I have to pick them. Sometimes Manny Ramirez go get the baby wipe, and it have the Lysol. And I say, hey, Jimmy Kimmel, come here, little crocodile. And he come to look at me, and I say, silly crocodile. And I reach down. Sometimes I get very scared when I clean his dingleberry because Jimmy Kimmel, my crocodile, bit my wife's arms off.
What?
My wife had no arms.
What?
That's true.
When did that happen?
1990.
That didn't happen.
It did.
See, here's the amazing thing about Manny is no matter how his baseball career is going, it doesn't seem to bother him.
Not very
and
much.
Pressure doesn't get to him.
Hey.
Yes.
Pretty lady.
Yes.
Last night, Manny Ramirez go to ballpark,
and
I have to take a poo. And I went to the bathroom, and I went inside the urinal.
Okay.
That's not what it's for.
Well, that is true.
It's for pee-pee.
Okay.
When Manny Ramirez eat asparagus, his pee-pee smell like poop.
Okay.
So I go,
all right.
Hey,
all
which
right.
one am I doing? Okay. Is it 1 or 2? Manny Ramirez sucks abuse because,
all right.
Hey,
I'm
Kevin.
Sorry. Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Manny Ramirez's mom have dreadlock too.
That's great.
In her bush.
Oh, man.
Okay, good talk.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
We funnier if they offer up the first name.
They should offer up the first name.
You know what I'm saying.
Just first name.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Thank you.
Well, I think we may have some real problems.
Wow.
Let's hear that again, should we?
Sure.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
We funnier if they offer up the first name. You know what I'm saying.
No, we don't.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
I don't know what you're saying.
I can't
it's
tell
just
you.
Weird. How in your head?
The first, hey, more funner.
You don't have to tell me. I'm just happy
it
not me.
Perfect, but in my head, it sounded nothing like that.
Well,
Gets you a little warm up for the stroke years.
It's good. The world's good.
Good practice.
K-Rock at 7:49. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat.
Hey, you know what?
What?
No vacation Bean information anymore. Can't do that. Bean's been on vacation this week, and he can't from beyond the vacation zone start sending us thanks for that info, Beans. He can't do it. It's not allowed. That's unfair.
Because we need a break from him as much as he needs a break from
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Let's all take the full 5 days, take a breath, decompress.
When I go on vacation, you couldn't find me if you tracked me down with hunt dogs.
And nothing personal, but we don't really want to. Those hunt dogs.
I was hoping that would slip by.
We know
no.
You're on vacation.
All
you're
right.
doing your thing.
I'm
we're
gone.
Doing our thing.
Right.
There's really not much. They don't really cross purposes at any time.
When
I'm
you
not
get checking
back,
email.
We fold you back into the show, and
right.
then we get back to business as usual.
Yeah, I hear you.
No, I don't know. I can't take emails from Bean when he's on vacation. We've been talking about this Yoko Ono show all morning. She's putting a play locally here in Los Angeles.
Oh.
With her Plastic Ono band. And
she might be bad enough that might be good. Like, that might be fun enough to just go see because it's so horrible.
Right, because she is horrific
right.
on every level.
Right.
She can't sing, she can't write. Her performances are like nails on a chalkboard, right?
Right.
So we've been joking all morning via email to each other how horrible it's going to be and that Omar should go because it'll be torturous and we'll all laugh at that. And then we get this.
Oh, no.
Those two shows are going to be great. Everyone from Perry Farrell to Lady Gaga to Iggy Pop is performing at them. They did the same thing in New York with a different lineup, and it was amazing. Bean.
Says the guy who didn't see it in New York.
F you.
Here's what I know about Yoko Ono.
Yoko is wonderful. Yoko Ono is wonderful.
This is what I know about her. That's what I know about her.
You're right, Bean. That will be amazing. What were we thinking, making fun of the Yoko Ono show? Oh, it's like from beyond the grave, he haunts me.
Worse. Block his emails like I do.
I didn't know that was impossible.
Trash.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to David Blaine and his fiancée, French model Alizé Guinochet.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
You know her?
Of course he yeah. does.
All right.
They are expecting their first child. Blaine right. joked, the baby's probably already practicing holding its breath. See, because that's what he does famously when he goes underwater and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When asked how the baby came about, the magician said, I made my penis disappear, then reappear. Disappear, okay, reappear. Yeah. Disappear, reappear. The same. That's how he did it.
Because he's a magician.
Magic wand.
Right.
Have you heard of the big announcement last night on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart?
No. I taped that show. I haven't watched it yet.
Yes. He is going to lead a rally in Washington.
Jon Stewart is?
On October 30th. A rally to restore sanity, it's called. This in the wake, of course, the Glenn Beck religious-y sort of rally on Washington where he got everyone together to rally the troops.
Not a rallier. I don't really follow the rally
Well, that's
world.
That's what Jon Stewart's saying. I said on both sides of the argument that everyone is a little out of control. He said it's time really to stop drawing pictures of Hitler's mustache on anyone but Hitler. Not everyone is Hitler. Yes, people, can't you come up with a Stalin mustache? That's pretty easy to draw, too. He said...
It is pretty lazy.
Both sides really need to get more reasonable so we can actually deal with some of the actual issues that are going on in our country instead of just yelling at each other. So he is putting together he says about 20% of these people are in these crazy left-wing or right-wing groups that are screaming at each other.
Right.
He said the other 80%, this is the rally for the other 80%, who frankly have S to do, and that's why they're not out at most rallies.
Right, and they're not going to show up to this one either.
I think they will.
Do you?
I think they will. He said the ideas for this, poster ideas for this rally are... I disagree with you, but I'm pretty sure you're not Hitler. He'd like to see some of those signs going on around. And also, take it down a notch, America, which I think is pretty strong. Well, on the heels of the Million Moderate March, as he's calling it, Stephen Colbert announced he is going to counter Jon Stewart's creeping
it.
Reasonableness with his own rally on the same day in the same location on the mall in Washington. with the Keep Fear Alive March. He's going to try to keep fostering all the fear in the political conversation. So apparently the two of them will be joined together, and they're going to have a big co-rally on both sides of the issue.
I know that news is super boring. I hate watching the news. It's boring as hell. But you watch those two guys. They make it funny.
You get the news.
Yes.
And often you get a fresher, more honest perspective than you do on a lot of news sources, and you stay informed. It's really the best
on Comedy Central every night
to get your information. The Black Eyed Peas, it's been announced, will be the halftime show at the 2011 Super Bowl.
Look,
anyone?
Fine.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess.
Fine.
Aren't you a little burnt out on the Black Eyed Peas, though?
Yeah, but I also don't need to go all the way back to 1960, whatever they usually do.
Yeah, we had The Who last year. That did not go well.
Wow, no one cared.
Isn't there some sort of happy medium?
Well, what if they perform this?
My stump, my stump, my stump, my lovely little stump, amputee.
That's a good song.
I don't believe that.
They do that one.
I'm not pretty sure. I'm not positive. I think maybe.
I'm just happy it's a band that is still alive. All the members are still alive.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine, I'm sure. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm hoping for too much from the Super Bowl.
You are.
I think the last great, really, halftime show, I thought Springsteen did a great halftime show. I think that's about halfway through. That's people who like, older music, but people can still appreciate that he's a talented guy. U2 fell along those lines as well. I was hoping for something a little more middle of the road like that would bring everybody together watching this
show.
There aren't a lot of those bands, are there?
No.
Now hear me out.
Oh, here we go.
This may sound crazy at first, but I was
Yoko Ono.
No.
Yoko Ono, the Plastic Ono Band.
What about Metallica? Now, they're a heavy metal band, but they're a heavy metal band that even people who don't like heavy metal love, and they have a lot of recognizable songs, and they fit the football crowd, and they're huge and big and powerful.
They're not worried about the football crowd. For Super Bowl, they want to appeal to
women
and
country music lovers.
I agree, and that's what you get the Toby Keith crowd with Metallica. You trust me, that bleeds over. And even like soccer moms know a Metallica song.
Right. I think they'd be great, but I don't think the Super Bowl would ever pick them.
No.
Because
that's why they've gone with the Tom Petty's and the U2's and the Springsteen's. They like sort of middle of the road, not too poppy, not too rocky, just generic music that's been around for a while.
Yeah,
I've just learned that halftime is a time for me to go to the bathroom, get some food, hang out,
do anything else.
Just you don't need
Rub
to watch.
One out.
Yep. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Or
just,
two.
Just to bleed the brake lines. whatever you got to take care of. And this is an interesting list from Forbes.com. We do quite a bit from this magazine, because they keep touch with the finances of show business, the business of show business, if you will. The list of the top five money-making actors in Hollywood, highest-paid actors in Hollywood. Thought this was interesting. Fifth is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Fifth?
Now, this is a period from, let me see what they're looking at here. I think it's June 2009 up till June 2010. So in the span of that year, these were the highest paid actors. These are the people who had the best year, past year. Leonardo DiCaprio was fifth with $28 million.
In that year, $28
million. Underperforming films like Body of Lies and Blood Diamond made it difficult for him to justify a large payday, so he took a bit of a hit. Adam Sandler was fourth. He made $40 million in the span of that year. Tom Hanks was third. Made $45 million in that year.
What did he do in that year?
Angels and Demons.
Oh, right.
Also produced The Pacific for HBO. Yeah. I mean, he does a lot of producer work besides his acting stuff. Second was Ben Stiller. $53 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently, in a year.
Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, and other projects made him the second on the list. And the number one biggest money-making guy from June of 2009 through June of 2010, Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp
earned a total of $75 million in the span of that year.
$75 million. That's shocking.
$75 million. I can't even wrap my head around
that. Right. I mean, most people, you go, look, if I could be worth $75 million one day, it would be unbelievable.
At the end of my life, if I have earned total through my entire working life $75 million, that would be the most successful person on the planet.
12 months.
Boom. Here's your check for $75 million.
All right.
So how effed up would Kevin be?
Oh, forget about it.
Hey, there's no question I would kill myself.
He'd get one check and that'd be done.
I would just be strawberry ice cream everywhere
I'd go to Vegas and I would never come back.
Give his twin daughters samurai swords and everything. He would just go nuts. He would just, it would just be a lunatic.
That would be bad parenting.
You put him under their beds!
Let's move on. Let's not talk.
Today's 20 birthdays. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 45 years old today. Matthew Settle, Rufus on Gossip Girl, is 41. And Baz Luhrmann turns 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Andrew Siciliano. And yes, we have a man crush on him.
He's the hardest working man in sports.
Yeah.
Good morning.
How are you, Andrew?
And you know the crush is mutual, right?
I hope.
I mean, so much so I'm listening to him on Love Line.
Love Line?
Coming home a couple nights ago.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
That's no, that's a bad precedent. Because I call myself Dr. Drew sometimes in my free time, but the ladies don't necessarily buy it. So I have to get some of his material and steal it if I want to maintain the ruse.
You're mini Drew.
Exactly. Thanks. Well, let's not go there.
Really? You're going to start with a short dose, Kevin? Really? First thing out of the gate?
Look, I'm just saying. Let's talk football. How about that? Let's talk football.
Let's.
Since Andrew is the host of The Red Zone on DirecTV, which gives you all the games at the same time, all the action, none of the crap. That's what I love about The Red Zone.
We do have some crap sometimes.
There is some crap,
yeah. Sometimes.
I hope everyone took advantage of the free premiere weekend last week, and everyone had a chance to watch on DirecTV. If you don't have the package, if you do, you should buy it, because Andrew is amazing. He follows all the games at the same time and brings you all the action as they score or something interesting happens.
As they do anything. Yeah, thank you. It's we do have help. There are like 70 guys working behind me sometimes, so... I we got to give them credit too. Look, I got people in my ear telling me things.
There are
and,
a lot
you know,
of people in my ear
nothings.
Telling me things too, and I can't pull it off.
You know what's amazing? How often we ignore them too. Like someone says something, and you only get one word out of it, and you realize they've been talking for an hour in your ear. Yeah.
Yeah,
my favorite part of the new set, though, is a 103-inch monitor.
Yeah, I think we need to come down there one day and watch.
You guys are welcome.
I mean, really, that's
ridiculous. Seriously.
Can we shout stuff in the background?
I don't know about that, but if you bring beer, we might let you do that. We've never done the show with beer. Well, ever.
Oh, that'd
be
crazy.
You couldn't possibly work with a couple beers
but
in
it'd be fun
you.
To oh, see how far
try.
We got.
It would be fun
why
to
why
try.
Why not?
That would be good
guys,
times.
Let's come on
talk
down, bring
about
beer.
Some of the bigger games of the weekend, shall we? Before we get to the Manning matchup, let's talk about New England versus the Jets at Meadowlands. Jets coming off a less-than-stellar performance last week against the Ravens.
You know what's amazing in this country is we hate boring people, but as soon as they open their mouth, we hate them and we want to see them fail.
Talking about Mr. Ryan?
Yeah, don't you get that feeling with the Jets that America somehow has turned against the Jets after Hard Knocks?
Well, that's the thing is it can be a curse, I think.
It can be.
Yeah, I mean, that show Hard Knocks we're talking about on HBO, they take you through, you know, everything of the training camp and everything, and how they trim the team down, and it's fascinating. What? But you see them all. You see all the coaches. They all talk. You see the players.
But you're setting yourself up. They start talking smack and come off a little cocky and larger than life. I mean, when you got to back that up.
They're a 9-17 from a year ago with a great defense, and Mark Sanchez, who we love from here, he carried them a little bit in the playoffs. He did his thing. He didn't screw up. And they're a team that could go to the Super Bowl, but their coach, for those who don't know, is this big, fat, jolly, loudmouth, foul mouth, F-bomb dropping dude named Rex Ryan, who's great, but his team laid an egg on Monday night. Look, they're still a really good team with a really good defense, but New England is really, 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 really good, and I think New England's going to kill him. It's going to be, maybe not kill him. I think New England wins comfortably, but here's the thing, too, about the Jets. They get the Dolphins next week on the road. Then there's a pansy in their summer. Then they get Minnesota in 2 weeks.
They have a tough schedule all
if
the way along.
They don't start winning, and this is a huge game because it's in Division II. If they don't win now, I hate to say this is a must-win for them, but they better show up. This is the game.
Well, if they
this
lose
week.
This one, and then they and you're down 0-2. That's rough in the NFL.
That's
you
huge.
Only have 16 games, right?
And right, and
plus
they go to Miami
division,
next
too.
Week again. Miami, right, Ralph, in the division, it's bad. They got to win, but. Darrell Revis, by the way, hammy, didn't practice yesterday. The corner
really?
That held out, got all the money.
Yeah.
He goes 1-1 against Randy Moss, who he called a slouch a couple of weeks ago.
Good.
So that's the matchup to watch. Randy Moss will, I think, use him. But that's just me. And I'm not a Randy
I
Moss
think
fan.
It's a lot harder to be the defensive back than it is to be the wide receiver.
Well, because the wide receiver
you know
knows
going.
Where he's going.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a much harder gig. You try to keep up with him.
Try doing your job backpedaling all day.
But
that's what he's doing.
With this defense, though, will Brady have all the time in the world like he did last week to get rid
of
the ball? I don't think he will. So those long plays may not develop
as
much. He might be ditching it off to Wes Welker or
something. And the Belichick-Rex Ryan chess match, I love it because they're polar opposites. Bill Belichick, if
If you're standing outside and the sky is blue and you ask Bill Belichick what color the sky is, he denied that he's even under a sky.
I love him. I love him so much for that because he is always in the worst mood that anyone could possibly be in.
Just I think he might miserable. Cheat, though, and videotape the sky to see what color it was.
He would videotape the sky.
But even if they win by 40, he's miserable.
He's miserable.
I would hate to be that guy.
Absolutely no difference miserable. Between a win and a loss in the post-game conference with
what?
Him.
Like Nick Saban. When Nick Saban won the national championship, when Alabama beat Texas at the Rose Bowl, Mack Brown, the Texas coach, looked happier losing than Nick Saban did winning. I mean, he looked downright angry that not only they won, but that they threw Gatorade on him. And Belichick's the same way.
Belichick's the same way, and that's why I love to watch them lose, just because of him. I don't care about the team.
Yeah.
I don't care even about that division. I just like
when
to watch
when he's losing, he's skulking around in his hoodie, just pacing the sidelines with that scowl on his
and
face.
And Raider
Nothing's
fans
better.
Hate him, too. You know that. Yeah. So the whole Tuck game, Tuck whatever thing years ago.
The Tuck rule.
Yeah, Tuck not meaning what most people think Tuck.
I don't know
just
what
like
you're talking
football,
about. Is he a,
tucking the football
is
away.
Is that transvestite?
No, no, that's why I tried to explain it. Not the transvestite. Not that we know of, at least.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not. Yeah, the hoodie, I don't know.
Dallas and Chicago. Dallas offense struggling last week up against a Chicago team that got very lucky in that legendary last game of that play against Detroit.
Yeah, what do you guys think of that?
That's a dumbass rule and needs to be changed.
I think
dumbass
it was
rule.
Called
last week.
Correctly.
Bingo.
It was a horrible rule. It's a
horrible rule. It was called correctly.
Yeah.
Proper application of a flawed rule.
Right, and the day afterwards they should have changed that rule.
They can't though midseason. What are they going to do? Change it midseason?
You would go to every owner and say, do you mind if we change this rule? They would all go, yes.
The owner of the Bears loved it.
Well. If you catch the ball and 2 feet come down the end zone, that should be touchdown.
Except
end
different
of
rules
play.
Apply.
End of play.
It's they over-officiate.
Those of you that don't know what we're talking about, you have to catch the ball and hit the ground and then get up and then run home with the football.
You have to control the ball at all times as you go to the ground to make a complete play. And the ball touched the ground in the guy's hand as he was going
after
down.
As he was standing up.
Yeah, he used the ball to brace himself and get up.
Right. He had it. There was no question. And they called no touchdown. It was so stupid. I had never seen anything like that.
Yeah, well, the Bears loved it.
Of course.
And now they go.
But they also know that they're super lucky based on a horrible
win. But do you care? Do they care?
No, it's a W.
Okay. They're happy to get the W.
They won.
But they know that it's BS.
And the Lions got screwed, and now the Bears, Cowboys got screwed, too, except I don't know if you saw the end of the Cowboys game.
Yes.
All right, Cowboys offensive tackle. Final play of the game. No time left. Either the Cowboys score and they win or they don't and they lose. Very simple. They score. Tony Romo touchdown pass. Except the right tackle was called for holding. He basically choke slammed the left defensive end. He got his arm up around his neck and body slammed the dude. Good call. Absolutely good call.
Was it one of those deals where the quarterback wouldn't have gotten the ball off if had he not done it?
Doesn't matter. It's blatant right next to the quarterback. It's getting called.
Yeah.
Period.
It was flagrant.
Flagrant. And then he's standing there with his helmet off after the game, grabbing ass like everyone, shaking hands and doing everything else with the team after the game. Hey, like, they lost specifically because of you. there were legitimate concerns that he wouldn't be allowed on the team playing. I mean, people legitimately thought that they might have said, you're cut on the spot.
Oh, my God.
Except there might have been a players union thing or something. They might have said, hey, look, here's a ticket. Go to Reagan. You're out of here.
See, but I don't get that because I think there are times when you take penalties. And if
not in that situation,
maybe not, but
not with that much time.
If your quarterback's not going to get it away anyway, you might as well gamble.
Okay, what if I told you he's the most penalized player in football the last 3 years?
All right, well, then now we have a problem.
Yeah, he's got a record. He's like the dude who...
So it wasn't
like
a one-time thing.
Like the dude who hit Tom Brady last week in the car accident, then you realize at 21 he has 7 things on his traffic record in the last how many ever months. The guy shouldn't be driving.
Yeah.
That guy shouldn't have been on the field.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, sure. That kind of thing. That makes sense?
I hear you.
Okay, sure. That'll make sense in the morning.
So anyway, Chicago versus Dallas.
Yeah,
let's talk about
Dallas
that game.
Has to win. They absolutely, much like the Jets, they absolutely unequivocally have to win. They're at home. The Bears can't block anybody. Cowboys.
There you go.
Love it.
What about your Cleveland Browns? Are you going to win?
You know, I had them as a lock last week.
Did you?
I honest to God thought it as a 3-point dog they would have won in Tampa because Tampa's awful. I watched the game again last night on shortcuts on DirecTV, I should add. Like
that,
30 minutes, boom,
yeah,
boom,
it's
boom.
Nice compressed game.
It's great, too.
They dominated the first half, and then they fell asleep. They are the better team, and Kansas City is coming off an emotional Monday night game.
Yeah,
I like the Browns.
Myers on the Cardinals, going to kill.
Right?
I mean, they're pretty much just going to dominate.
Cardinals Falcons in Georgia.
I actually like Arizona in that game.
You do?
Well, yeah, that's a 6.5-point game. I actually like Arizona, but Derek Anderson's an awful quarterback.
What's going to happen with Cincinnati against Baltimore? Because Cincinnati, here you have Carson Palmer, if not one of the premier quarterbacks in the league, a really good quarterback. You've got Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens. You've got two outstanding wide receivers.
And crazy.
They looked awful last week, and now they're up against the Baltimore defense.
There were two things I thought we learned last week. Number one, they're still the Raiders. And number two, they're still the Bengals.
Yeah.
No matter how much they talk, they simply cannot put back-to-back good seasons together, period. They're still a good team. But
both teams find ways to lose.
They find ways to lose.
It's Baltimore, so frustrating for their fans.
Exactly.
With those weapons,
the
superior
team. Baltimore is suspect in the secondary. They might be able to move the ball. Cincinnati might, but I like Baltimore, even on the short week.
All right, we need to take a break. Andrew Siciliano is here. You can watch the DirecTV Red Zone. That's the channel to get. You can watch every single NFL game as well. It's expensive, but we say if you have to sell your house, it's worth it for a season.
I shouldn't say this because DirecTV will bill me, but if they double the price, I'm still going.
I mean, was cover time this week, is home ownership really worth it anymore?
Right.
Was that,
And the answer?
And the answer? No, just
not
the
if you can't watch every NFL
right, exactly.
game. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Friday. We're talking football with Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah.
All things sports. Andrew.
Hey.
The Manning boys.
Yeah.
Peyton and Mouth Breather.
Now, which,
facing
Eli.
Off,
he's a mouth breather. You know that.
You know what?
Eli's a short busser.
He walks around the field with his mouth open and his eyes almost rolled back up into his head like he has brain damage.
You love then when he had the massive gaping open head wound a couple of weeks ago, right?
That was the best.
Because it looked straight out of a Tarantino flick. And for those who didn't see it, it wasn't that hard of a hit, but his helmet got pushed up his face, cut him on his forehead right on his hairline above his left eye. And it was one of those ones where
it was
like you're watching a fight in high def and you could see the blood dripping down onto the field, just gushing as he's running off.
But the good thing is he doesn't breathe through his nose, he was already...
And there's no real chance of any brain damage because I'm not sure he's got one.
I emceed an event. I had only met Eli in passing, but I emceed an event with him a couple of months ago at that new stadium in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really a good dude. I'll say this. I mean, Peyton's the affable one now. He's made himself into this pitch man, this lovable character. He did the SNL thing where he's, the United Way commercial, which is a classic.
Right.
Eli's kind of seen as a dork. He's actually...
A dork?
Excuse me. He's actually kind of a cool dude.
You can't even say that without choking on him. That's how much you're lying right now.
Bagel,
sticking in your throat.
I don't mean any of that. No, I like the guy. And the Colts are the better team.
Look, we could like him too, but it doesn't mean he's not a mouth breather.
Mm. Okay.
Colts didn't look great last week, I got to tell you.
Yeah, but...
A lot of dropped balls.
Would
a lot
you
of
think Peyton,
not on the same page kind of situation?
You're absolutely right. It was Houston's biggest game ever.
Yes.
Houston's had two big games ever. Their very first game in which they beat the Cowboys.
Right.
Their very first game as a franchise, they give them the Cowboys, and the new team in Texas beats Dallas.
Right.
And then that game, this week, where they beat the Colts, they worked 7 months for that game because that was their barometer. If we could beat Indianapolis, they were 1-15 lifetime, franchise lifetime against Indy. If we can beat Indy, this means we are a legitimate playoff team.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
Really?
Absolutely. I think Houston is a wild card team this year. Indy, though, is better than what they showed on Monday. The Giants have issues. The game is in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Eli would stay at the house, wouldn't you? I asked him that. He said they're going to get a hotel.
Is that right?
Yeah, but Peyton's like, y'all can stay here. But Eli thinks that Peyton's going to, just change the alarm clocks or screw with him or put something in his food or something like that.
I mean, absolutely.
If I play my brother in sports, absolutely.
Cool, put a roofie in his Cheerios in the morning on Sunday.
My brother's a better athlete than me.
I don't know that I'd roofie him.
I don't go that far. But when I competed against my brother, I always beat him.
Just because
it was just sheer adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what those guys go through. Seriously. But, yeah, roofie's a good idea. The roofie salata, roofie cream of wheat.
Eli wakes up in a dress. I don't know what's going on. His lipstick all smeared.
With the blood running down his forehead.
That's right. That wound reopens.
I can do that in a second.
Good could come from
breathing
that.
Breathing through his mouth. That's great. Yeah, I love the animation.
What's your take on the whole reporter thing in the Jets? It's been talked to death, but...
Inez Sainz.
I think everyone's wrong. Everyone's wrong.
Everyone's wrong.
Everyone.
Wait a minute. There's
wrong.
There are people taking every side.
There's
How can
no
everyone
point
be
of
wrong?
View.
All right. First of all, I've seen her work the what are they called? The
Media Day at the Super Bowl.
The dancing
I've never seen her. I would never work at the pole. I've seen her work Media Day at the Super Bowl where she has, a couple of years ago, the Indianapolis players carrying her around on their shoulders. Right. She's measuring their biceps. It's a little bit of a circus act.
She has a competition for biceps.
It's a circus act.
She brags that she doesn't have a hard time getting the fellas to stop for an interview with her.
Of course she doesn't. But here's the other thing, though. If she dressed in a business suit, she's attractive enough.
I agree.
She'd still get every interview. She doesn't have to dress like that. Part of it I blame on the entire... Do you guys watch Spanish TV at all?
Oh, yes.
Watch,
every chance I get.
Yes. You know why? Because they know what they're doing.
Because they're hot.
Yes.
Right. And they're
You have to be a 9 out of 10
right.
to be on Mexican TV.
I watch the Univision World Cup pregame show every morning because they have dancers. They had dancers in little soccer uniforms.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
They have a boner.
They know what they're doing.
Well, I can't. Maybe. So...
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. So they want her to dress like that. That's part of her job.
Right.
She wouldn't have the job if she dressed in a business suit.
She refers to herself.
Or if she was ugly.
Okay.
Or if she was ugly, she would not be working
for She refers to herself as the sexiest sports reporter in Mexico as well.
She's done bikini shoots.
Okay.
Now, there are plenty of legitimate reporters who have done bikini shoots, too.
But not as many.
Not as many.
Yeah, you look up Anderson Cooper, I think. Anderson Cooper did one.
Yeah. You look up her name on the internet.
That's the other side of the magazine rack. I don't go over that.
You look up her name on the internet. You look up images.
There's a million photos.
And 9 out of 10 are bikini or whatever.
Half naked. Yeah. Right? But what I have a problem with is when she does all the TV, like CBS Morning Show, Good Morning America, and she's dressed with cleavage down to her belly button.
Why do you have a problem with that?
If you're, I loved it.
All right.
But if you're going to go on TV and try to defend yourself in some case of alleged sexual harassment, why are you showing me your belly button on TV?
It sounds to me like a much bigger deal got made out of it than she wanted to make out of it.
But she milked it. And I'm not trying to say she's the victim who wanted it. I'm not being that Neanderthal here.
But she could have.
But isn't that just savvy?
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't know her name.
You didn't know who she was. She's getting another Maxim spread, I guarantee you.
Yeah. And now she milked it in my head.
And probably a better broadcasting job.
Probably a better broadcasting job. No, where do you go from TV Azteca? Do you go to Univision after that? Or
I don't know.
Galavision? Where do you go?
I don't know. But
now, but what about Clinton Portis, speaking of broadcasting?
Well, he's an idiot.
I mean, yes, but...
What's the R word? Can I say the R word? That's Clinton Portis.
The R word, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
But Clinton Portis.
That's what we go with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But don't you, just like the Rob Dibble situation, don't hire
Clinton... I have nothing wrong with what Rob Dibble said.
Don't hire Clinton Portis if you don't want Clinton Portis to be a loudmouth. He's always been a loudmouth. He's been a loudmouth since the day he started in the NFL.
Clinton Portis is a knucklehead,
right?
He's a good football player. He's a Redskin running back, for those who don't know. He said... Every woman in the locker room is there to look at 53 dudes' packages.
Right.
That's his exact
And she's going to find one that she wants.
And SportsCenter played it without cue, 53 dudes' packages. Right? Which is fantastic. So he said, Clinton Portis for years on Friday, on game week, would come dressed at practice as a different character to meet with the media. He had Dolomite Jenkins.
Yeah. Right.
He had...
It was Dr. What's-his-his?
Right, Dr. Something. Southeast Jerome. Southeast is the bad part of D.C.
Yeah.
With these big glasses and an Afro wig and a gold chain. He dresses up as characters for the media.
Right.
Yesterday, when the media came around his locker to get another comment, he had a note card, and he was doing, like, you know, those stupid commercials with you just read the note cards
right.
and you're flipping, God bless, I can't talk,
right.
no comment. And he had... duct tape over his mouth. Albert Hainsworth was in on the act, duct taping his mouth. So he's just whatever. He's an act. I don't care what he says. And I guarantee you his apology wasn't even that sincere.
Of course not.
Okay?
Of course
but
not.
But as for this idea that the Jets may or may not have been animals, I don't know. But the idea that they're naked, everyone's caught up in this whole naked thing. She wasn't in there after a game. I've been in gazillions of NFL, NBA, whatever locker rooms. After a game, you're going to see naked.
Right.
She
and
was
that's
there.
What you go for.
Absolutely.
All right, good.
Getting back to Anderson Cooper.
That's right. Yeah.
This was like on a Friday or a Saturday. It's called Open Locker Room. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The media is given 45 minutes every day to go in there.
Right.
It's the same time every day.
Right.
It's usually before practice. Players know they're there.
Right.
It's part of their schedule. No one's naked in those locker room situations.
I am, though. If I see her, then I go, I'm in a locker room. I'm going to take off my
It generally doesn't happen.
It seems like a perfect storm is what I'm saying.
Yes.
She's a sex pot. She's milking the sex
right.
pot. They're in their locker room where they can... It's their house, kind of. It's
exactly. And I'm not defending them. They probably crossed the line.
Of course.
I guarantee you they crossed the line. But this has turned into a should women be around naked dudes conversation. That day... Open locker room, midweek, before a game, there's very little naked. If there are 53 players, if any more than three or four are naked, I'd be shocked. The guys are coming from lunch. Guys are coming from meetings. Guys, right, they know the reporters are there. They can go hide in the training room and get their ankles taped. They don't have to be in there.
Let me ask you this, Andrew. In this day and age, is there really any need for anyone to have to try to do a locker room interview?
I say you do your job better with the raw emotions from the players directly in the locker room after the game. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I say it gets done 99% of the time without this. There are women in the locker room.
Absolutely.
It all goes well.
There hasn't been a problem.
This is an exception.
It's almost never a problem.
It seems a non-issue.
Now, listen, I have been in locker rooms before where we have a bunch of reporters gathering around a locker waiting for the athlete to come out and stand there and address the media. He'll often come out in a towel.
Right.
And I've been standing there watching other guys go to their lockers on the side there, guys coming out in towels, and they are staring at the ass of some female reporter. Mm-hmm. Big deal.
Yeah, that happens.
Big deal. I'm at Starbucks. I did that this morning.
Right.
Now, does that make... They don't see that.
Starbucks should look into you. There should be some sort of investigation.
Yeah, me and Baristas, it's a long history.
I just want to hear you talk more about being with naked men in the locker room, because you seem to be obsessed with that.
That's a past life.
I've been there a lot.
We'll look at the women.
Of course.
That's what Clinton Portis is trying to say. And the women will look at the men. But the majority of... Actually, you know what? Every female I've ever worked with that's been in a locker room, they are paranoid about being, I don't want to say being caught, about anyone thinking they're looking down.
Right. Of course.
Okay? They look at the ceiling.
Of course.
I mean, I'm 5'7". Women talk to me and they stare over my head in locker rooms. If you're just having conversations, waiting for an interview, male reporter, female reporter, exactly, they don't even want to look me in the eye because they don't want anyone to think, because first off, they're not looking down,
right,
but they don't want anyone to think they are.
Because they're there to do business.
99.9999999% of female reporters I have ever worked with in a locker room are above board, hyper professional.
That's why this is
super professional.
That's why, to me, this is a non-issue. It's just a non-issue.
It
is a one-time thing with a weird situation, and she plays up the sex, and they're in a locker room, and it's not the way it goes, and everybody just take it easy.
Some people would say her professional behavior on air is more dangerous to the community of female sports reporters
absolutely
than anything that could have happened in that locker room with the football.
Yeah, I can see that.
Absolutely,
I can see that.
Because
if you're a football near me on the field,
if you're a legitimate female sports reporter and you're trying to establish yourself and not making about your sexuality, someone like her, I think, really puts a roadblock in.
But she's hot.
Oh, she is.
She is hot.
Y habla español también. Which makes her even hotter.
I agree. Muchos flapos. Put them on the glass. Yeah.
Flapjacks.
Yeah. All right, we have to go. Ed Siciliano, Red Zone, DirecTV, get it. It's a lot of money, but get it.
You're going to make Andrew go away before we talk about my Eagles quarterback controversy, all right? All right.
Oh, we can take another break if you want.
No, it's okay.
We can do that. We'll take another break.
No, it's all right. It's all good.
Yeah,
it's all good.
DirecTV.com.
Don't get all butt hurt.
I'm just saying.
We'll take a break.
Is that an adjective?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll be right back. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano is in the studio talking all things sports.
Let's talk about the most important game of the week real quick. It's already a legend in the NFL annals, being called the Battle of the Backups. It's Michael Vick for the Philadelphia Eagles versus whatever the guy is who backs up Matthew Stafford.
That would be Sean Hill.
Sean Hill, exactly.
Sean Hill, former 49er.
For the Detroit Lions. And
that's going to be a game.
You know, a lot of people like the Lions in this game.
I know.
This is not an anti-Vick thing.
A lot of people like whoever's playing the Eagles year long.
See, I think the Eagles can be okay. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think the NFC is too tough. But I think they could be a 9-win team. I legitimately think that.
I've never been a Cobb guy. I've never been the guy who was calling for McNabb to be run out of town on a rail. I was never one of those Eagles fans. And when I watched Michael Vick play in the second half of the game last week, I was like, we have a better shot of winning with this guy under center than we do with Kevin Cobb.
Maybe short term. I don't know about long term. Do we agree Kevin Cobb is not... I'm sorry. Michael Vick's not going to be there next year?
Yes, he will not be there next year.
So why not play Kevin Cobb if he's healthy? He got his bell rung, and he's not healthy.
I'd rather start Mike Kafka, who's the third stringer. I think he's more of a winner than Cobb is.
He played at Northwestern.
I know.
You guys are talking about like second and third quarterbacks.
We're going deep here.
A rough year for Philadelphia.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, Michael Vick is probably going to go into Detroit in all likelihood and win the game this week.
Right.
And then the fans back in Philadelphia, as Ralph
will
knows,
still
are going to go nuts.
Oh.
And they're going to want Michael Vick until Vick goes in there and throws a pick on the first possession week three. And then they're going to want Kevin Cobb.
Yeah.
And then when he throws a pick, they're going to go onto the field and beat him in the head so he gets another concussion.
Right.
They're going to get Kafka. I've heard it both ways. They get him in there.
Then they'll call Jeff Garcia.
Then they want Jaworski.
Then they want the dude
from Invincible. And they're going to keep going down the line because Philadelphia fans, unlike, not this guy, but most Philadelphia fans, it's like an
all
abusive relationship.
Fans.
Right. It's they beat up on their players and then say, you know what? Harder for me than this is worse for me than it is for you.
Right.
You think I want to do this? You think I want to beat you? You think, no, this is harder on me than it is for you. You don't care as much as I do. I love it more. If only you cared as much as me. Right?
You just don't listen.
You don't listen. Don't make me do this. I can't believe I just went there with domestic violence. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
That's how
with Philadelphia
they treat
fans,
their teams.
I know.
And then they get upset because the team, the players don't love the city.
Right. This is harder on me than it is on you.
Yeah, that's how they do
it. I would not want to play in Philadelphia.
I wouldn't either. Donovan McNabb.
Not one of
fellow alum. I'm thrilled he's out.
That's right.
I'm thrilled he's gone. Couldn't be happier for the guy.
That was a good move.
And by the way, every game the Redskins win, it's only going to get worse, regardless of who's quarterbacking
the Eagles. That's true, yeah.
Because look down the road. They're winning. Maybe they're winning. Yeah.
Your team just self-destructed, Ralph. What happened?
Well, they shipped everybody out. Westbrook is gone. McNabb's gone. It's a brand new world.
You could be a Raider fan.
Could be worse. Man. That's true. I could be a Raider fan.
Seven consecutive seasons of at least 11 losses.
That's
you know how hard that is to do?
There should be some type of voting in sports. Some type of voting. I don't know if it's fans or if it's team owners to force Al Davis to unload that team or to force the Clippers owner to get... If people who aren't good owners get forced out.
Or the McCourts to sell the Dodgers.
Same thing.
Yeah!
Same thing.
Absolutely.
There's got to be some kind of, I don't know,
except if you were to do that, the value of every franchise, talking on the business side of it, would not plummet, but it would go down.
Yeah.
Why would you buy a business if one day someone had the ability to force you to sell your business?
Yeah. But then you look at those franchises and you go, the Raiders fans deserve so much more than Al Davis.
And I like to bang on Raider fans, but they deserve better. They absolutely deserve better.
That's why I think all teams should be publicly held companies.
The Packers are.
Like, I know, Packers like the Packers. This way, if shareholders think you're not performing as the CEO, you get the boot and they bring somebody else.
You know, they have votes on common stock every week. They're called tickets. Don't go.
Yeah.
That's
really
true. Yeah.
Don't go. If you don't go, that sends the message. They're not going in San Diego this weekend because the team doesn't believe it needs to play in September, and it hasn't for years under North Turner. And if the team doesn't believe it has to play in September, the fans are now saying, for the first time in 49 games, that is, you know what? We don't believe we have to show up in September, so they're going to get a blackout for the first time since 04 in San Diego.
Wow. That's rough. Good times.
Glad NFL's back.
Good times. Andrew Siciliano, again, DirecTV Red Channel, and also, what's Fox Sports?
ESPN 10 to 2 today. No, yeah. Fox as well, sometimes, yeah.
ESPN.
at night, Wednesdays.
10 to 2. There you go. All right, Andrew, we love having you, and thanks.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Right now, when you purchase the 2010 Volvo S80, get 0% APR and make no payments until 2011. Plus, get our complimentary safe and secure coverage plan. See your local Volvo detailer or call 1-800-480-9012 for details.
Detailer or retailer? Probably what? Retailer, right? Volvo retailer?
What did I say?
You said detailer.
No, it's retailer.
You said detailer. You said detailer.
All right.
Here's what I'm saying.
Let's get that tape.
I'm Lisa
up.
May, and that's K-Rock Traffic.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
It's Mike, I'm going to need that tape, please.
Okay. World-famous K-Rock at 8:56. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Bad enough, Lisa's selling vulvas. Now she won't tell us the truth about what she said.
It's not a vulva.
Just out of control, this woman.
If it was, I'd buy it.
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Speaking of buying body parts, this is a fascinating story about one of Hollywood's biggest couples. Legendary couple of Annette Bening and Warren Beatty. They've been Hollywood royalty for years now. Everyone said it wouldn't work because Beatty was a legendary sort of playboy.
Right.
He's 21 years older than her. And when they met, she was an up-and-coming actress. He was pretty much nailing everything. And they've made their marriage work for years, but now apparently they may be splitting up for the most bizarre reason possible. Their 18-year-old daughter, Kathleen Beatty, is apparently decided that she's actually a man on the inside, and she is has made her decision to get gender reassignment surgery.
Okay.
18 years old, college student.
Right.
And according to the stories, Annette is supporting her in this decision, and Warren Beatty can't deal with it and is apparently not on board and is causing quite a rift in their marriage.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's
isn't 18 a little young to decide that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Anyway?
It is, but...
No, I think you know early? That pretty early. Yeah.
I don't know, but...
It's a long process.
That is a weird thing to come between you.
Apparently, she lives currently as a man at college. Goes by the name of Steven. And I guess that would be a difficult thing to deal with in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think his age doesn't help in those kinds of situations either.
I think he's a little old-fashioned.
A little old-fashioned in some ways.
But he was quite the swinger back in the day.
I know. It does make it a little
sex,
surprising.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll for him for a long time.
Yeah.
I remember when he was dating Madonna. That was a weird coupling.
That was bizarre.
They did the movie Dick Tracy together.
Yeah.
Does anything just remotely that sounds like sex make you go, yeah, Mike,
yes.
In the back of the room?
Yes.
We knew this all along, didn't we? Casey Affleck has come out in an interview. He's the director, of course, of the documentary, or mockumentary, if you will, I'm Still Here, about Joaquin Phoenix giving up acting and taking up rapping.
Yeah.
He said in an interview that the documentary is basically a fake. It was all a big stunt.
It was dumb from the beginning, and everyone knew it was a stunt.
Yeah.
And you go, look, tell me that it's a stunt or I'm out. And they wouldn't for the longest time. So now they're going to tell us.
Well, the premise really is you can't do that project if that's the project you're doing.
But everyone knew
it. You can't do it by saying, oh, this is just a gag. You have to sort of put it on, and that's what you're documenting is people's reaction to this put-on that you're developing, right? It's like when Andy Kaufman used to do that women wrestling or whatever they used to do, and he had to actually pretend like he was really angry at these women and he was really trying to be a wrestler in order to gauge people's honest reaction to his behavior. But I think you're right. They pushed Joaquin Phoenix's image so far out of a comfort zone that
right. No
one could really buy into it. So that appearance he made on David Letterman, where he wouldn't talk to him, was being all grumpy and whatnot.
What did Letterman say to him at the end of it?
He said,
I wish you could have been here.
Yeah. That was fascinating. I wish you could have been here tonight. Yeah. That was all I put on, too. Letterman knew about it.
Knew
what?
What was going on.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
According to a Letterman writer, Dave was in on the act and loved it because he could play along. It was great television. And... Joaquin will be on the show next week, next Wednesday, by the way, for a return engagement. So maybe we'll get the real story behind everything on that day. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Matthew Settle, actor from Gossip Girl, plays Rufus on that show. He's 41 years old today. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights turns 45. And director of one of my favorite movies, Moulin Rouge. You ever seen Moulin Rouge, Kevin?
I did see that.
With Nicole Kidman?
It's so not my type
of
movie.
Ewan McGregor?
And it was so good.
It's a very entertaining film. He is 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Kathleen Madigan has joined us in the studio now. Woo! Comedian.
Well, you even said that with a bit of an Irish accent.
Ah, sure.
A little
did.
Flair. Yeah. Well,
not on purpose. It was an accident.
It came out lovely.
Mm. All right, good.
Because they do that with some of the Hispanic comics. And I'm like, why don't they do that with my name? Why does it have to be Carlos Alas Rocky? Why isn't it Kathleen Madigan?
Right.
Here she comes. That was lovely. Thank you.
Most of the Hispanic reporters, sports reporters, weather, whatever, they usually just pick their name.
Selective. Yeah.
Yeah. Super selective.
Super selective. Versus the Irish just gave up.
Yeah, well,
we don't do it at all.
Right.
Except for Riverdance. In the Riverdance, when the fake Irish people act like they're Irish and they're not.
Yeah. You have a problem with the Riverdance?
I love the Riverdance.
Right.
It's the greatest dance ever because you can actually do it and not spill your drink. Because your arms never move.
That's how it was invented,
like,
I believe,
only
in Ireland.
The Irish people could come up with a dance.
And that dude has, what, 500
Michael
billion?
Flatley? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a multi-millionaire.
Unbelievably
rich. Yeah, you've made it when you can just quit and send other people out to be you.
Right.
You're like, you know what, I'm really tired of myself. Why don't you go be me for $1 million and I'll take 900,000?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm the Lord of the Dance, although I don't really dance anymore. That's who I am. Lord of the other people dancing.
We were talking just before we got on the air about you going to Iraq and Afghanistan.
How many times have you done that?
I did it once, and I'm going back. But
with our buddy Lou Black, right?
With Louis, yes.
Yeah. Oh, he's so great.
But people are always like, oh, that's so nice. It's really patriotic. I'm like, my patriotism ends when they go, do you want to go to Iraq? I go, kind of. Who else is going? See, that's not very patriotic. If I really cared,
you
I would just say yes.
Just yes.
But you're in close quarters with these people. I don't want to be with a jerk. Like, we lucked out because it was me, Louis Black, Kid Rock, and Kelly Pickler. Kelly, hilarious, but doesn't know why.
Right.
And I knew this was going to be two awesome weeks of entertainment. And then I would keep asking her hard questions to watch Lou's head explode. I was like, Kelly, if it were up to you, what would you do about the entire Middle East?
Well, unanswerable questions.
Kathleen. And you go, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I can't do this for 2 weeks. My head's going to explode. The girl doesn't know. Just face it. The girl doesn't know. And I'm like, come on, Louis. Because Kelly's bright. She did tease right back. I mean, we gave her, but some of the statements, like, they had a girl's tent and a guy's tent. So Kelly and I are in bunk beds and it's freezing, but the guy's tent was much warmer. And she leans over the top bunk and she's like, Kathleen, I'm freezing. Do you think the guys would mind if we went down and slept with them? And I'm like, well, I certainly don't think they would mind if you went down and slept with them. Why don't you let me shimmy out of my reading glasses, Kelly, and put on my sweatpants and say nothing on the ass, and I'll go down and ask them. Silly. And like, you know, they would. The soldiers are just all fun and they're happy we're there, but the higher ups take it very seriously. Like, we got there, they're like, we'd like to give the four of you a 2-hour briefing. I'm like, a briefing?
Oh, wow.
Look at us, sir. I'm like, Kid Rock's not even awake. He's standing up, but he's not awake. Louis doesn't need any more information. He's already too angry. And Kelly doesn't even know where we are, sir. Kelly's like, why is it so sandy, Kathleen? How come they all got on the same outfit? Oh, ask Louis. Ask Grandpa Lou why they all have on the same outfit.
See, that's the difference between you and Louis, is that you'll indulge that.
Encourage.
Yeah,
Louis,
like, you're an instigator.
Not just indulge.
Louis's head will explode.
Like, at one of the bases, they would let you go shoot this machine gun, and Kelly goes, I want to shoot the potato gun. I want to shoot the potato gun. And Louis goes, did she just call that a potato gun? Oh, my God. Did she really say that?
I said, she sure did. She's climbing right up top of that tank to do it, Louis. She can't wait to shoot that potato gun right in the middle of Baghdad.
Can't believe I'm stuck in the desert with this woman.
That's a really good Lou.
It is, right?
You got a finger of crazy moving down.
Ralph can't do the voice without the finger.
Right, you got to do the whole thing.
It's all one
package. The whole thing.
Maybe Lou can't either.
That's
possible. I've known him for 20 years.
Now you're going back? Yeah. Is that true?
Yes.
Who's going this time, you know?
I only know Lou. Well, I know one other person, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, and I don't want to get in trouble with the military. The last thing I need is a drone over my condo in
West. Is who's doing the USO tour really a military secret? Do you think you could get into trouble?
Well, it kind of is because Mike Mullen goes with us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the fancy pants guy.
Right.
It's the fancy tour.
Because
I have comics that go on the non-fancy tours.
Right.
And I thought our tour started out really fancy. We started out on Air Force Two, but then it kept getting progressively worse. And I go, this is how they trick you into it. You go like, oh, yeah, I'll go.
Air Force Two, beautiful plane.
Yeah. Right. Then you go home like on a goat holding a backpack with bad water in it and diarrhea.
Is it a reflection on your performance throughout the tour, or is that happens for everyone?
I don't know. I said that to Lou halfway. Are we this unfunny? Is Kid Rock this off key that now we're like in a plane that doesn't have a bathroom, we're in nets, and Lou looks so stupid in military gear. I mean, you can just not put this big giant Jew in all this equipment. It doesn't look right. None of it fits right. The helmet's sideways. I'm like, we could win the war if there were thousands of you, because the other side would laugh so hard. They would drop their guns in laughter and go, they can't be serious that these are their soldiers.
I just imagine some general somewhere saying, you know, they're really not that funny. Let's not protect them so much. It doesn't really matter. If they die, it's okay.
You know what?
We got what we wanted. Put them in the open air tank.
That's right.
They don't really need the good Black Hawk. How about the one without the doors?
Put them on the old MASH number. Remember that where's that MASH helicopter we had laying around? Put them in that one.
They now drive the dirt streets.
As soon as we signed up to go, I sent all the paperwork back. Then I turned on CNN and they said, oh, we're bringing all the troops home from Iraq by December 1st. And I'm like, well, are we being punked by the United States military? What do you mean? I just sent paperwork back saying yes.
For when?
Yeah.
But for when are you going? When's the tour?
This December.
Oh, all right.
And they said they're going to try to get everybody home, like, I think, beginning of December. And I'm like, well, certainly. I mean,
maybe it's just a show at the airport.
That'd be fine.
You know,
maybe there's a cleaning crew. I mean, it was a war. Surely there's rubble, right?
There must be rubble.
It's just a guy with a broom and a tank tire.
Maybe you're going to perform for the locals. Maybe they want to boost the morale of the new guard, the new regime.
See how good their English is. Let's do a comedy test.
Exactly.
Because, you know, Lewis and I actually went to China to do comedy, which was a huge disaster because they didn't tell us. I mean, they booked us. I considered the whole thing to be their fault. But they didn't speak English, and I'm like, well, we certainly don't speak
Chinese. Hold that thought. Kathleen Madigan is here, because I saw in your bio that you went to China. I was asking Ralph, how does
that work?
How does that work? It seems like a terrible...
It was awful. Right, don't ever do it.
Okay, we won't. Kathleen Madigan is here. We'll take a break and come back on The Kevin and Bean Show. This is The Kevin and Bean Show. We have comedian Kathleen Madigan in the studio, and just before
gigs coming up, before we go any further, you have gigs coming up, right? Doesn't Kathleen, is she performing locally?
I do, this weekend, tonight.
This weekend,
she does. She's going to be at the Grove in Anaheim tonight.
Yep.
And then at Club Nokia tomorrow night.
Oh,
Club
cool.
Nokia, that's a great venue.
I have not been down there.
That's a great venue.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll take your word for it.
I just saw Asia down there. Remember the band Asia from the 80s? Yeah, I saw Asia down there.
I think
there.
A friend of mine saw a Crowded House down there. Was this like 80s? Is this the 80s?
Club Nokia is actually a time machine. When you go in, you actually get transported.
Should I do all the jokes I wrote in 89?
You should.
Maybe I will.
I'd wear a leg warmers if I were you and a bandana and come out to physical. That would be a big crowd pleaser, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now, just before we took a break, we were talking about you touring with Lewis Black in China.
Hey. Yes.
That seems like a bad idea.
It was ridiculous. It was so stupid. Like, the crowd, then not only did the crowd not speak English, but they had an interpreter.
Well, that's what I was...
Yeah, oh, but no, he was doing, like, the hand signals, like, for deaf people.
What?
Like a deaf person nothing. This was like this was like if you took Percocet and some weird dream occurred where you're like, I was with Lewis and there were these Chinese people and then there was this deaf interpreter guy. And then I just kept making fun of him. Because I'm like, your timing is terrible. Your hands don't even move at the rate my mouth is moving. How could this possibly be funny to these people? Nothing. The whole trip was awful.
Shouldn't they have someone translating into Chinese, though, rather than doing hand signs?
I don't even think you could do that. I think she thought, this woman that booked us, that some rich British people were going to show up.
Oh,
and maybe four or five did. This lady was super rich. She's a friend of Princess Di's at the time, whatever, blah, blah. So she books us for this crazy tour. What I did like, though, is the poster said the tickets were $350 because in their money. And I said, really? It's $350 to see me and Lewis? I don't think so. Even Chinese people aren't going to fall for this. But we had a horrible time, and we were walking around, and I said, all I know is if reincarnation is true, I was never Chinese, because none of this is ringing a bell. None of it. Not the food, not the music, and
was
the music.
Was it a tour, or was it a show?
No, it was just me and Lou doing
but
a bunch
I mean,
of
was
shows.
It one show?
No,
it was
did a bunch? We had to repeat this nightmare.
What?
This wasn't just a Thursday. This was, and then one of the venues we got there, and all the sound equipment was broken. And I'm like, well, you made it. We're right here. We couldn't be any closer to a place that could fix a microphone than if we were actually in the factory. How is it possible the monitors don't work?
That's awesome.
Call someone.
Lewis Black doesn't need it, in his defense.
No,
he doesn't need a microphone.
Right. He could yell by candlelight, and it would be the same show, really. And then he got really sick, and like... You know, I don't know.
Was it the food thing? He got sick eating different food?
They said he had some Chinese flu. I don't know. And then the Chinese, the language, I said to Lewis, I think they have a law that whatever you say to them, they have to say it back 7 volumes louder. I do not understand the volume thing. And I went into some drugstore to find some medicine for him, and I climbed up this ladder because I saw something that looked interesting.
Familiar.
I don't know, kind of familiar. I would give him anything and he'd take it. That's what I love. I'm like, I'm going to give him goat's claws and see what happens. And I got up there, and the Chinese lady was like, no touch, no touch, no touch. And I said, okay, well, sorry. I go, what are these pills for? She goes, those are for calming down. I was like, wow. You know what's crazy, lady, is these are too high for you to reach, and I think you need them.
Catch one in your mouth is what you should have said from up there.
Yes, the yelling got...
It's all loud that way?
I'm like, that's why you guys had to build this wall around this country. You're so loud. There are probably other countries calling, could you keep it down? We're over here in North Korea trying to enjoy Kim Jong-il's opera and some fireworks.
What happened after the first show and you knew you had more to do? Was it just the worst feeling in the world?
Did you try and bail?
And then I told Lou, I go, you've only got this Chinese flu because you don't want to work. This is all psychosomatic, Lewis.
So then you had to do it by yourself?
No, he didn't. Right. But I mean, he was sweating profusely, and it was just terrible. No,
that's normal.
Yeah. No, we had to do the rest of them.
Wow.
Yeah, we did.
How many shows?
I think probably 5. I've blocked a lot of them from my memory, but probably 5.
Do you have any video?
We should have done that too.
That been great.
Right? We didn't even think about it. We didn't think about anything. Just said yes. We're idiots.
I mean, you were in China. Were you able to like experience China at all?
Well, no, because he was so sick. The one day I said, okay, there's the world's largest Buddha on this island. We have to go. So he's literally dying, and I make him get on this ferry that's basically sinking, right? He said he couldn't. He was like, I need some Kleenex or something. So I went to the bathroom. He goes, not even any toilet paper. I go, there's not even a toilet. Toilet paper? Are you kidding? There's like a hole in the ferry. So then we get out to the Buddha, and it's like, literally, I don't know. I think they were proud of it. They were like, it's 2,852 steps to see the Buddha.
Oh, no.
No.
I'd like to hear Ralph as
you
Lewis.
Did?
His answer to you. You made him climb all those stairs?
Oh, he didn't make it. I'm just going to sit down here by this food cart or dog cart or whatever it is they're cooking. I'm starving. We haven't had anything decent to eat in a week and a half. This is ridiculous, Arda. Why you brought me here?
I'm going to climb those steps just to throw you down.
I'll just be here smoking these weird cigarettes. I said, okay, go ahead. I'm going up, though. I climbed them all. I wanted to see it. I'm like, we have to do something.
Yeah.
That's part of the culture.
Did you have
was it worth the climb?
Was it worth it?
No, because then when I got up there, the whole thing was fogged in. All I saw was the foot.
Yes.
I just saw a giant foot. Fog everywhere.
And then you had to walk all the way down the stairs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good exercise, though.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, something.
Man.
That seems like a bad plan.
It was a very bad
You're
plan.
You're both really smart. Was there no conversation before you went to China? There was none?
You just said yes? No, that's what's wrong with us. Like, on some subjects, we have a lot to say, but we don't think enough.
You're gullible.
Especially together.
How do you
It's just one big giant idiot. Like I said, why didn't we talk about this? Why didn't we both just say...
What are the logistics of this?
Yes, we both just said...
It should have been brought up in passing. Hey,
no.
Is this going to work or...
No.
Nothing.
No. We both were like, well, we probably wouldn't pay to go to Asia on our own.
So it was about traveling.
Yeah, I was like, okay, they're going to willing to pay, and why not?
Feed us good food.
Did you have government minders? Did they follow you around? Like,
we did when we would get paid.
When you get paid?
Yeah, because we had Chinese checks or something, and then we had to go to the bank with them.
Wait, for your security?
People, well, yeah, they had sent people like with guns, and we had to go to the bank, and there were people with guns there, and maybe we had all the money. I said to Lou, I go, maybe we have all of the money.
I've never seen anyone carry that much money
city,
before.
In this check, and they know it. And they're like, don't let the big giant Jew and the little tiny redhead sneak alone on the streets. And Lou's so tall, like he really did. I said, I feel like a giant here, and I'm only 5'1" and a half, and I'm like, I love this guy. I'm a giant. No, you be quiet. You be quiet, little man. But Lou really attracted a lot of attention because he's so tall compared to that.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He is a monster. Yeah. He's Godzilla.
I would have been really, if I had that check and I had the security, I would have been like watching for the security to just all of a sudden be gone.
Disappear.
And then you go, oh, this isn't good.
Well, at some point, I had just resigned myself to crazy bad things may happen, but we're kind of stuck. It's that part in the movie where you just go, those two don't have an option.
Right.
Yeah, so, but nothing crazy happened. I mean, the guns was weird, and Lou's not very comfortable. I mean, I'm kind of Missouri hillbilly. I knew what kind of gun the guy had. You know?
But Lou's potato gun? Yeah. Was it a potato gun?
Lou's not comfortable. I don't like all these guns. I'm like, I want more guns. Look at these people. We have all the money, Louis. I want more guns and more larger Chinese men. If they have Yao Ming, certainly they've got someone else that tall in some village. Find the guy and bring him here to protect us to walk to the bank.
Wow, war zones in China.
Nookie is going to be heaven to you.
That's why I think comedians, though, always stay reasonably normal. Because, like, the week after that, I was in Omaha and he was in Des Moines. So you're just right back to crap.
Tonight, Kathleen Madigan is going to be at the Grove in Anaheim. Tomorrow, she's going to be at Club Nokia downtown. And she's going to be doing all ladies material,
awesome.
Apparently. So
yes.
Going back in time.
In my leggings.
That's fantastic. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. And go to KathleenMadigan.com if you'd like more information.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 9:44. And congratulations to, let's see here, Peter Miller from Fontana just got STP tickets. Those go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning for Nokia Theater in L.A. And he's on the standby boarding list to see STP in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh.
How about that?
Stone Temple Pirates?
Yes.
You know, it is Talk Like a Pirate Day this weekend. We didn't get a chance to celebrate.
That's such a shame. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for the final Ralph Showbiz Beat of the Week. What's going on?
Celebrating.
That's your Friday sounder?
My Friday sounder. Black Eyed Peas are going to play the 2011 Super Bowl halftime show. Now we know. Now we know who it's going to be. It'll be at Dallas Stadium, or Cowboy Stadium, rather, in Dallas. And apparently they're going to be performing.
That's not bad, I mean, considering. I mean, they've forced us to lower our expectations for halftime shows for Super Bowl.
I forgot they had done it before. They'd been on the Super Bowl halftime show before.
Oh, they
in 2005,
have?
They were a small part of a bigger show called Bridging Generations, where I guess they brought out oldie oldsters and then newie newsters. And,
that sounds terrible.
Showed the spanning the globe and the generations of music. So they'll be back.
Yeah. Halftime show at Super Bowl is not for me. Or you or anyone
is,
I know.
That is, I'm there for the football.
Yep.
All the accoutrement, if you will.
Accoutrement.
I don't care about. I don't care about the pregame or the lead up or anything. I just want to watch the game. That's all I do. And then collect my money, bitch. Because I always win.
You don't always win.
I rarely win, actually.
Is it true, the statistic that I heard, that no team has ever played in their home stadium in the Super Bowl?
This is true.
So it's in Dallas.
Right. So if the Cowboys get to the Super Bowl, they'll be the first team ever to play a home field advantage Super Bowl, which should be interesting. Speaking of music, finally. I've been waiting for this day forever. It's just announced in the Netherlands, first ever Klingon opera is being presented.
Klingon opera?
An opera written entirely in the fictional language of Klingon.
It's just not true.
There's a dude...
Somebody's effing with you.
...who took Klingons from Star Trek and created a full, entire language. All the verbs, nouns, adjectives, what have you.
That
created.
I know is
He's
true.
A linguist, and he created the Klingon language.
Okay.
So this opera company has taken that language, and they've written an original opera performed strictly in Klingon. Does that sound awesome?
No, it sounds... Well, yeah, it sounds bad enough that it might be good.
Bad, yes.
I understand it as much as I do any opera.
Exactly. So you go and you just relish, you just roll around in the wonder of the Klingon language.
I would laugh at how bad this is.
No, and their ways and their traditions, the rich traditions of the Klingon way.
I don't know the rich tradition of the Klingon way.
That's why you need to see the opera.
I don't want to see the opera.
Here's a little news piece on it.
Trekkies take note. The world's first opera completely composed in Klingon debuts in the Netherlands.
Klingon tir yapab. Kun kon. Charwit pu'e.
That's a terrible language.
Nungna utakaba teke. Tuka tubaka. Kirk. Tugaba tukakekon. Utaka tika. Spock.
That's a horrible story. A horrible language.
Oh, I gotta go. It's in the Netherlands. Why does it have to be so far away?
It's worth it, though, for you, man.
It's worth the trip. Speaking of worth the trip, I'm actually thinking about going to Washington, D.C. at the end of October. Last night on The Daily Show, Jon Stewart announced he is going to be holding a rally there in the mall in Washington, where Glenn Beck recently had his big shindig with all his people who came out.
Right.
Waving their signs and being all angry.
Right.
And Jon Stewart thinks there's just too much anger on both sides
of
the political
true.
Spectrum. A lot of angry citizens for the right screaming. You got the Tea Party people. You got a lot of angry left wingers who are doing the anti-war demonstrations and showing up with fake blood all over me. Way too much screaming and yelling. Not enough reasonable discourse, in Jon Stewart's opinion. Here he is announcing his rally.
For tonight, I announce the rally to restore sanity.
Is that going to work? I don't know, but he says this is for the 80% of the people who aren't ridiculously angry on one side or the other.
But none of them march.
Well, this is for them.
But they're not going to march.
No, he said, that this is for the people who go, we're here, but only till 6 o'clock because we have a sitter waiting. We have to relieve the sitter. He said it's going to be a very short event, but he said he wants to get people out to have the more temperate position on national issues, and hopefully we can start some actual conversations.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
He suggests carrying signs like, I may disagree with you, but I'm pretty sure you're not Hitler. Signs like, take it down a notch, America. That's what he's shooting for. Reasonable attitudes. Well, that did not sit well with Stephen Colbert.
Uh-oh.
The show that follows Jon Stewart, his arch rival.
Yeah.
As you know, has a right-leaning program. He doesn't like this idea. He wants to keep people frothing at the mouth. He wants to work people into a needless frenzy.
Sure.
So he, on the same day, at the same location, is having his own rally.
I am calling for the nation to join me on the Washington Mall for the march to keep fear alive.
Yes, he wants to keep everyone in a frenzy. So they will be battling it out. To show you the difference in their opinions, Colbert said, Make sure to book your hotel rooms early, because if you don't, your children will get AIDS. John Stewart said, that's not the case at all. If you don't book your hotel room early, it'll be harder to get a hotel room later on. So see, it's a more reasonable position, that's all.
Those two are great.
They are. But they're really doing this event, so it should be fun. If nothing else, some good TV will come out of
sure.
it. Right? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Baz Luhrmann is 48 years old today. He gave us the sunscreen song many years ago.
Yes,
and also
he did.
Movies like Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge. He is 48. Did anyone ever see that Australia that he did with Hugh
no.
Jackman?
I tried.
I never saw it.
I didn't get through it.
Too much bad word of mouth.
Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 45 years old today. And Matthew Settle, actor from the Gossip Girl program. He plays Rufus on that show. He is 41. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Ralph.
Have a great weekend. On Monday, Shia LaBeouf.
My co-star from Eagle Eye.
Yeah, that guy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
We're so high right now.
Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
We're so high right now.
Pass it over to me.
What are you, high?
Roll another one.
The best tonic is chronic.
Just like the other one.
Clearly, he's high.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
I need another hit.
Smoke weed every day.
I guess if we're going to feel anything, we should smoke a whole bunch of it really fast.
Smoke weed every day.
You got any weed?
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that.
But don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around.
Clearly he's high.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend. But just pass it on down.
You get the hell out!
Cut. Print. Gay.
Hey. You boys leave. You can't come back.
Oh, gee. You hear that? If we leave, we can't come back.
Oh, no. What should we do?
All right. Stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
Well, what did everybody think?
That stunk.
Worst episode ever.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
This is such a body car!